to stand up strong. Face the truth about themselves to understand what they're wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. Good morning. Hi, y'all. It's Wednesday again. Can you believe it's Wednesday already? What the? It's like time is just coming. The sun coming up, going down, coming up, going down at a fast pace. Really. And I don't know what that is. But it's amazing. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773. 888-77-JESSE. Excuse me. J-E-S-S-E. Jesse. And my biblical question is a doozy. The biblical question. I had a little yellow piece of paper. Did I drop it? Nick, will you look and see that I drop a little? Oh, thank you. My biblical question. Does God allow, I have it here, thank you. Does God allow you to suffer? Does God allows you to suffer? Amazing question. It really is. We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on JesseLeePeterson.com/show. JesseLeePeterson.com/show. And if you're running around doing, you know, you don't have time to sit and watch it right now, you can podcast, of course, but you can be listening to the show on your iPhone or iPad while you're working out, while you're dancing, making breakfast, lunch, and dinner, on the run from the Department of Justice, or trying to stop the Department of Justice. And the Department of Justice trying to stop it from picking up the illegal aliens. So you're protesting against your own country, or you're in our country on a student visa and you're supporting Hamas. And you're saying death to America, death to Israel, you still can be listening to the show. Why are you doing all that? By calling the listen line on Talk Stream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to buy me a coffee. buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. All right? Amazing. This is the last Wednesday of May. Believe it or not, this month has gone by like 90 going now. But fret not. America's friend is here. Our friend is here. My friend is here. Bond's friend is here. The next president of the United States of America is here. Bill Lockwood. Bill Lockwood is here. Get ready. really one of the smartest, and I'm not just saying this to be funny, it's true, one of the smartest white men on this side of heaven. And he is the host of Patriot Pulpit and Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood. He is a preacher at Our Park Church of Christ in Texas. And you can support him, and I urge you to do it. You don't hear me doing this a lot with a lot of folks, right? I urge you to support Bill Lockwood. You will not regret it. American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. And we're going to give that out again. If you missed it, get ready for it. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Jesse. How are you today?
Amazing. How you doing?
Very good. Thank you for that.
It's welcome back into the month. Can you believe how does time seem to be going by faster than you, or is it just me?
No, it's me too.
and why is that?
Well, I've always been told that as you get older, the time does go more quickly. I suppose it's because we stay busy and then we look back and say, well, where did that? See, I skipped my 50s. And now I'm in my 60s, so I don't know what happened.
What a mess. So one quick question. I want to get to some very important things I want to discuss with you. How you feel about what's happening in America now with the president, the tariff situation? And it looked like Putin tried to play tough with Trump.
Right.
So what do you think about all that at this point?
Well, I appreciate President Trump. Just all across the board, particularly regarding the tariffs. I think many people miss the general picture, and the general picture is that the globalists, who are the entire Democratic Party and the, what we call the neocons and the Republican Party, have planned and plotted for a century to melt us into a global government or global governing situation. So a part of that plan was to get rid of the tariffs, but not only that, but part of the plan was that we would send our manufacturing overseas. So, for example, when we sent manufacturing overseas after NAFTA was passed, the government even told many of those manufacturers that they had to close the shop and dismantle the manufacturing machines themselves because they didn't want them coming back. Our globalists have planned to assist the rest of the world at the expense of the American taxpayer and make us a service economy instead of a manufacturing economy. So now we have a situation in which President Trump is facing, in which we want to bring that manufacturing back. That did not leave simply by happen chance. It left by the deliberate planning and plotting of the globalists since the time of Woodrow Wilson and FDR, and it was left really under the Bill Clintons of the world, and it left America because that's what they wanted it to do. So now we are supplying the rest of the world with their jobs, and we have basically a service industry that is, at one time our manufacturing was 25% of our economy, but now it's like less than 10%, or maybe it's like 12. But President Trump is trying to bring it back. Not only that, but the tariff situation, at one time, we were able to fund our government almost 100% by the tariffs that we received. But in order to get out of that, we implemented the income tax. This was in Woodrow Wilson's period. So now we're funding the government with not only income tax, but also just living off of credit. And that of course, is wrong. So President Trump is trying to not only turn back the hands of time on those things, but he's trying to bring back manufacturing to America. And so I think it's a huge, huge job for him to do. And I hope that it's successful in it, but a lot of people don't understand that. They say, well, the prices are going to go up. Well, look what's happening. In for example, if you go to Walmart, the goods there are 100% made in China, practically. You can't go to Walmart not pick up something made in China. It didn't used to be that way. And we have decried the closing down of the main street in America and the mom and pop stores But that has happened because of all of this globalism that has gone on. So Trump is trying to bring all of that back and change it up again, back to what it used to be. And that's why he's also talked about closing down or stopping the income tax, which I hope he can do that. But I don't know. That seems a pretty big job.
Is he going to have enough time to do it within his 4-year period?
I don't know. I don't know. In my opinion, that's why he's been moving so quickly at the very beginning, because he knows this is a huge, huge task. And I've heard some economists and a lot of professional politicians on TV saying, well, he should have got the tax cuts first, then worked on all this tariff stuff. But I think, in my view at least, the reason that he did the tariff first and tried to roll back the income tax is simply because he knew this is going to be the long yeah. goal. That's the long game here. So I don't know if 4 years is going to do it or not. But and so he's successful so far. But you know what? That's you're facing a lot of globalists who do not want it.
And so when he does it, and if, God forbid, but he's out of office in 4 years, who will maintain this? Who will keep it going?
We have to have people who have the same America First agenda. The agenda of America First is not simply that we want to defend our borders, which it is defending our own borders, but it also is that the wealth that we have in America was created because of the freedom that was engrafted into our founding documents, which, of course, was founded upon God-given freedom, and the rollback of government. And the government's job was basically simply to protect the freedoms that God gave us. That's why we have the wealth in America. But the liberals don't see that. The Democrats obviously don't understand that. And so they think we're just being selfish, and we somehow have stumbled across the wealth of the world, and it is our job and our duty to give it away governmentally, to give it away to other nations.
One other quick thing about that, as much as these people love money and power, these politicians and media and other, it's all about money and power for them. Why wouldn't they want the jobs, the manufacturers, to be in our country, where other countries have to buy from us? Because the more we sell, the more money we get. And as much as they love money, why wouldn't they want everybody buying from us instead of we having to buy from them?
You know, the answer to that is found in some of the statements that have been made by the international bankers. For example, one of them made the statement, he said, I refuse to go along with the idea that America has the wealth, and let the devil take the rest of the world. He says, it was our obligation, and they were moved by Marxist ideas. It is our obligation to send over our monies and our manufacturing and our wealth to other nations. And that's, he said, we're not going to go along with this. America's wealthy and the rest of the world is not. And part of it goes back to Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson, when he quoted the Declaration of Independence, would leave out the fact that our rights are given to us by God. He would leave that out of his speeches by God. He was just talking about the inalienable rights that we have and then just go on. Well, that's the idea. I believe it's the spiritual warfare, that it gets down to the fact that people do not, the left does not want the idea, or they do not like the idea that our rights come from God, and the government is simply to protect those rights, and therefore we have the greatest freedom because God gave it to us. They don't appreciate that at all, and they think that we ought to get rid of everything and give it to other countries over there. So, not to say that we should not be giving to other peoples, but that is a free will contribution. That's what giving is, contribution. It is not tax from us and send it overseas. As a matter of fact, there's not one line in the Constitution that authorizes $1 of my money to go anywhere overseas. It's interesting that they're all talking about Constitution, and all these judges are trying to block Trump about the constitutionality of what he's doing. How about the fact that there's not a line in the Constitution that gives the authority of our Congress to send any money overseas through USAID or through World Bank or International Monetary Fund. There's none of that is constitutional.
That's amazing.
Not only that, neither is Medicaid and Medicare. But you can't even talk about touching that, and everybody goes ballistic. Do you know, over the first 100 years of our nation, these same things came up for discussion on a frequent basis in Congress. And the Congress always harked back to the constitutional framers, and they pointed out that the redistribution of money in America is unconstitutional, illegal, and immoral. That would include Medicaid, Medicare, and all those things. Well, they refused to implement them, but we had globalists who finally got in there from Woodrow Wilson and this finally into FDR's period, who insisted on getting such things as Social Security in place, and that was a redistribution scheme, because it's Social Security, as you know, does not have a savings account with my name on it. It doesn't have that. The Supreme Court has ruled on that 2 times. It doesn't have that. It just goes into a general pot. So at any rate, the globalists have wanted this for a long time. This is where we've gone. Donald Trump is the only one who's going in a different direction, and they hate him for it.
That's amazing. One quick thing about that. Globalist people, did that come about as a result of establishing a government? If we didn't have a government, would we have globalist people?
Well, the globalists are internationalists, and the internationalists are those who believe that there should be an international order and not national.
I know, but will they be in the United States trying to control the United States in that way?
Well, they already do. That's just the United Nations, or the World Trade Organization. I remember when George W. Bush was president, the World Trade Organization came out and said, wrong, you can't do that as far as some of the trade policies that he put in place. They said, you can't do that. Now, just think about that. Are we a sovereign nation or not? Do we have sovereignty? Do we make our own decisions how we're going to control our own trade, our own borders? Are we going to do that? But the internationalists from the United Nations, and earlier than that, the League of Nations, told us we're not going to be able to control our borders. You're not going to be able to control your own trade policies. You're going to listen to the internationalists who are going to siphon off the wealth of the United States and send it overseas.
If our government said no to that, to the United Nations and all that mess, could it still happen in America or no?
If our government would kick the United Nations, no. If the United Nations would be kicked out of the United States, which they ought to do, kick the UN out of the United States, because it's been a Marxist plan from the beginning that the people who constructed the United Nations were globalists, they were Marxists, they were communists, and those individuals, they did it on purpose. They purposely made it that way so that we would have an international board overseeing the United States. But their whole plan was get the foot in the door, and then we will build on it later. Now, a lot of people, even conservatives, say, well, the United Nations is a good thing. It's just a talking point that we can come together at a table and all talk. That is historical ignorance. The people who constructed the United Nations absolutely did not want a sovereign United States. They wanted to get the blueprint in place. And after you get the blueprint in place, then you build on it later. That's what Woodrow Wilson was told by Colonel Edward Mandel House. Mandel House was an internationalist. He was a rich oil man from Texas. And he told Wilson, he said, let's get the League of Nations, get the blueprint in place. But when we get it in place, we can build on it later, because it was an international globalist government. But they didn't sell it that way. But Wilson pushed it and pushed it and pushed it. And House told him to back off of that, because the conservatives in Congress back in those days were a little bit skeptical about globalist organizations overriding the sovereignty of the United States. Well, Wilson couldn't stand anybody going against him, And the proud, pompous man that he was, coming out of Princeton, he said, no, you know, one of those professors, they don't like anybody questioning you at all.
Yeah.
You know how those professors do, and they just hammer you. So he pushed it. It was rejected, and there was a split then between Colonel Edward Mandelhouse and Woodrow Wilson. House went his own way. He came up with another plan. He said, okay, we're going to establish the United Nations, another globalist government organization in embryo form. And it was going to be called the United Nations, but he started it with the Council on Foreign Relations and International Relations, International Institute of Royal Affairs, I believe it is called, in England. So these two organizations, England, United States, were to promote global government. And that is internationalism. And most of our politicians, as a matter of fact, all of our schools, have been educated to believe that internationalism is the way to go. So whether you have the Newt Gingriches of the world or whoever who are, whether Republican label, they're internationalists as they govern.
Amazing. This, so in the way that you're explaining it and the clarity of it, are they teaching it to the kids in school like that, or are they teaching them something else? Because if they don't teach the kids, that the voters will never vote out the government that believe in this stuff, and there's no way it's going to change. Are they teaching this in the schools as clearly as you made it right
now?
No.
Well, there are some schools, but if you're talking, are you talking about universities?
Yes.
No, the universities are not. The universities have been taken over by the internationalists for the most part. Not to say all of them have, but for the most part, they have been taken over by the internationalists and those who are in favor of the United Nations. I haven't been to all the universities and I haven't polled them, but I know that you can't hardly find a professor who is going to speak this clearly about the United Nations and its plan and plot for global government. As a matter of fact, you might just note this. And when President John Kennedy, when Kennedy was president, he signed the Freedom from War document. And the Freedom from War document was to get rid of our own sovereign army and transfer all of our weaponry and our military machinery to a globalist government. Freedom from War document. I think I have it on the shelf back here somewhere. The Freedom from War document. People ought to read that. Because that's what Kennedy signed. That was simply one of the stepping stones in getting a globalist government. But all we can see was, well, John F. Kennedy was smooth, a nice-looking guy. Richard Nixon looked very poor in the debates. And so, you know, everybody loved Kennedy and so forth. And then, but he signed that document because he was an internationalist at heart in favor of the United Nations. So we have, that's another reason why we send our troops all over. Several years ago, I remember reading an article. I don't know how many countries our troops are in today, but several years ago, they were in probably 180 countries in the world. Now, that's amazing. How did that come about? Because it involved also the international model, involved us becoming a global cop and our military becoming a global policeman. So we sent. So who's funding all of this? Well, we are, the American taxpayer. That's what's happening.
What a mess. And how can people learn this? What books must they read to understand what you just explained?
Well, I tell you what, there's a few good books. Okay, here's an author that people need to read, and that number one is G. Edward Griffin, G-R-I-F-F-I-N, G. Edward Griffin. He has a book that he wrote, I guess it was probably, I don't know, maybe 30 years ago, called, maybe more than that, maybe 40 years ago, called The Fearful Master, about the United Nations. Maybe he wrote it in the 1960s, I'm not sure. The Fearful Master by G. Edward Griffin. You can read about that. He has another book called The Creature from Jekyll Island, in which he talks about the international banking societies that has purposely been siphoning the monies and the wealth from America into the international organizations, and how the Federal Reserve System, was set up in order to do that very thing. It has never been audited. The Fed is, we don't know what's going on with the monies. And so they manipulate our currency. They manipulate our economy. And, you know, Trump is always in seemingly in an argument with the chair of the Federal Reserve System. So G. Edward Griffin is one person. Another one is Alex Newman. Alex Newman is one of the editors of the New American Magazine. He has materials out on, and matter of fact, he has a website called Liberty Sentinel. And he cuts right down to the chase of all of that. So there's another book called Global Tyranny by William Jasper, J-A-S-P-E-R, William Jasper, Global Tyranny. And he talks about that as well. There's another book I'm trying to think of called The Shadows of Power by James Perloff, P-E-R-L-O-F-F. James Perloff, Shadows of Power. It is probably one of the best exposés of this globalist plot. And they just go through it, all of these writers, consistently, and document everything so heavily. And it's just, I think, how can anybody not understand it when you read some of these materials? But you have to do some study.
Yeah. And the millennials don't like study like that unless they unless they're on the internet learn about pornography or how to shake their butts or something. Is this being taught in high schools and things like that?
No. No, not at all. No, in high school, matter of fact, they're going to teach that Islam is the religion of peace and that the United Nations is an organization that people are simply trying to be trying to keep peace in the world. They're not going to expose the real purpose of these organizations or these religions, so-called, in the school system. They're not going to do it.
Amazing. Bill, we only have you for 30 minutes today, right?
No, you have me as long as you wish.
Oh, good.
Because, I'm out of school today.
Oh, good, because I have a question for you about the internationalist thing, and also I want to talk to you about Hamas in America. That is mind-blowing to me. Someone want to know, do the internationalists like Hamas or Israel?
They do. So I wouldn't say necessarily if you're an internationalist, you like Hamas, but the Democratic Party, matter of fact, this is a good question. I appreciate that question. Bill Maher, whom everybody knows, and he's basically an agnostic regarding God's existence and a liberal, but he has been so plain spoken about his fellow comrades in liberalism. And Bill Maher just the other day had a podcast in which he pointed out, how is it the case that the Democratic Party is so in favor of Hamas? Why is that? Because Hamas is established in 1987. Hamas is a military wing of the Muslim Brotherhood, which was established in 1928, which is global jihad. That's what it's about, global jihad. So, but Bill Maher, if you don't believe me, listen to Bill Maher. He says this, why are the Democrats, and he knows he's an insider on the Democratic side, why are they so in favor of all of these terrorist organizations? Now, Hamas has been labeled as a terrorist organization by our own government.
Yeah.
And yet, Hamas is supported by the Democratic Party in America. You go figure. So the Democrats are internationalists. They support the terrorist organization. So the only conclusion, rational, that I can draw is that the Democratic Party hates America. Now, I say hates America. I don't mean they hate the individuals in America, probably so many of us, but they hate the founding ideals. The founding ideals is that our government was established upon God-given rights, that the government was only to protect those rights, and that we were to have a free society because God gave us freedom.
Amazing. Hold that thought.
Okay.
Don't forget that point, though, all right? I got to take a quick break.
No, I won't.
Quick break, back in a moment.
I just want to say thank you for everything that you do. You've absolutely changed my life for the positive, and I just want to thank you. I was 29-year-old beta, living at home with my mom, and just was living in fear and doubt, and I couldn't hold down a job. And then I found you, and I started listening. I started just being more at peace, and I forgave my mom, and I forgave my father. And it's like right after that, everything just changed in my life, and I was able to get a good job, and I moved out, and I live on my own now, and everything has just changed. And I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate you for spreading that message. It really is a positive message.
Amazing. That's good, man. I want people to know God loves us in ways that there are no words to express, because you have nothing to compare it to, right? Stay with the silent prayer. You haven't seen anything yet. It gets better. Amazing. Manhood Hour is coming up in the third hour today. It is Wednesday. We will be getting to your calls at 888-7753-773-888-77-JESSE. A couple announcements. The Hake Report. The Hake Report is coming up at 9 a.m. this morning, right after my show. Always after my show, Monday through Friday from 9 to 11. And James Hake is on fire. He ain't got that good hair for nothing. And then after the Hake Report, Joel Friday TV. He black. Joel Friday TV. And it's amazing. At 11 a.m., then the American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby. Energy all over the place. Given to him by God. It's not even on loan. It's a gift. The American Anchor Baby. And brand new episode of the FallenState.tv this Friday. If the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. I had a fun, but a surprising, because I didn't know this person. And I had a fun, but surprising and amazing discussion with Frank Stallone. And Frank Stallone is a Grammy and Golden Globe nominated actor, singer, musician. He's also the brother to Sylvester Stallone. Watch this.
Next time on The Fallen State.
So you are the brother to Sylvester Stallone,
yes,
right?
I'm his younger brother. We didn't come from basically an artistic background. You know, some people just maybe have a natural gift that I think is a divine intervention.
And what's your impression of the world?
I've been to China, Jordan, I've played in Italy. People just don't realize how fortunate we are to live in this country. Trump is a leader.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely
an alpha.
All the way.
He's got what they call in Hollywood the it factor.
Yes.
He's got it.
Frank Stallone, it was an amazing conversation this Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. You don't want to miss it. You can also become members of the FallenState.tv right there on YouTube and locals. And that way you can support us as well. I do appreciate it. I want to go back to Bill because time goes by so fast with Bill. His information is so important and enlightening. I told you he's the smartest white man on this side of heaven. He is. Bill,
yes,
before
sir.
We get back into the conversation, I really want to encourage people to support what you're doing. How can they do that? How can they, where do they go and all that?
Well, thank you for that, Jesse. I have a website called American Liberty with Bill Lockwood. I don't normally post articles on it. I keep it alive so that people might donate. It has a donate button on it, American Liberty with Bill Lockwood, and you can donate on that. The podcast that I do is called Patriotic Pulpit, and it is on YouTube. It's on Amazon Music app. It's on Spotify app. So that's Patriotic Pulpit. And then I have Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood. That's what I do in the pulpit, the pulpit in the church.
Right.
And that is, I preach, and so I have class lessons on there, sermons that I prepare weekly. And so that's material there. So that's Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood. It's at the Iowa Park Church of Christ.
Amazing. So before we went to the break, you were responding to the question, do the internationalists like Hamas or Israel? And you were saying how the Democrats support Hamas here in America, and you're about to make another point about that.
Well, I was just going to say that I don't know that the internationalists, who are primarily in the Democratic Party, and there are many of them in the Republican Party also, which defines as a neocon. That's what a neocon is. But the very point of Hamas and the Muslim Brotherhood is that they despise America. So the same thing is true regarding the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party despises God, despises America first. They despise it because you might just look back several years ago at the Democratic Convention. They had, of course, they didn't want God in the platform. They didn't even want to mention God. They don't like that.
I remember that.
The concept that our rights are given to us by God, I don't think you get Democrats to agree to it. I don't think if you get one of them, I'd say, what are you doing in the Democratic Party? not to indict every single one of them, but that's how the party is. So they don't like that. So neither does the Muslim Brotherhood. Neither does Hamas. They don't like the idea of a God-given freedom or God-given rights and God-given liberties. They don't like that. So Hamas has, matter of fact, they had a conference here just the other day. I guess it was maybe a couple of months ago in 2025. But Nihad Awad is his name. He pointed out that their goal in America is to have 50,000 mosques in America. 4,000 mosques, 50,000 lawyers, Muslim lawyers, and then. But the whole point is what is called stealth jihad. They're trying to take over the United States, and that's what they're all about. But that's because they are so against Christianity. So also is the left, the political left. So if you think about it, there is one hatred group, one group that they hate, and that is the political right, the religious right. They hate it. So when they have a common enemy, such as the Democratic Party does, the religious right, and Hamas or the Muslim Brotherhood, Islam, that has an enemy, that is the Christian right in America, they join forces. And that's why they join forces. You know, people who are enemies join forces together when they have a common enemy. Just like in the Deep South, you know, Jesse, you grew up in Alabama. You follow Alabama.
Yeah.
You know about the dry counties. You know, there are two groups of people who are against liquor and liquor being sold over the counter.
Right.
And they were, number one, the bootleggers, and number two, the preachers.
Yeah.
Are those two groups aligned with each other, bootleggers and preachers? No, but they had a common enemy, and that is liquor being sold publicly. So they joined together. You would think that they were in concert with one another, but they were really not. But they actually had a common enemy, so to speak, and that is selling liquor. So the bootleggers, they didn't want liquor being sold. They were making money. The preachers said, no, this is immoral. So the different reasons they preached against it. So the same thing is true regarding what's going on here in America.
That's amazing. And the
you remember those days in Eufaula, Alabama?
I know when you said that, I started to drift away. You're absolutely right, man. Sweet home, Alabama.
There you go.
I remember the bootleg and stuff, too, because I had an uncle who used to work. He used to make liquor like that down in the woods.
Did you? So he had a still, huh?
Yeah, he had a still down in the woods.
And how about that?
What? No. What a mess. And so does the internationalist like Israel?
Well, I don't know about all of the internationalists, but I don't think that they're going to be supportive of Israel as it is because the Islamic societies, the Muslim Brotherhood, and the CAIR, that is Council of American Islamic Relations, they believe that the Holy Land, or that is the land of Palestine, was given or is belongs to Muslims forever. So it's interesting to note that that is exactly what the Jews also say, and so many mistaken people in the Christian world on the right. They believe also that the land of Israel was given to the Jews forever, in the sense that never forever is in a long lasting. That is, it's never to be lost, never to be taken from them. I might very quickly add this. The word forever in the Bible is used referring to the promises given to Abraham, but the word forever simply means unlimited time. And those promises of land that were given to Abraham and then his descendants, the Jews, those promises were conditional based upon their obedience to the law. And God said that they would be driven off of the land, they would lose the land if they failed to obey God. So for example, the word forever is used as far as the priesthood of Levi, for example. The family of Aaron were to be priests forever. But that didn't mean that it would be forever in our sense, because it was replaced by the priesthood of Christ in the New Testament, and the Aaronic priesthood is gone, according to Hebrews 7, verses 11 to 14. The point I'm making is that the word forever simply means unlimited, but it is limited by the other statements in the scripture that tell us that if the Jews disobeyed God, they would lose the land that God had given them. That's exactly what happened. They were disobedient to God. They lost the land, and the Jews today don't have a title, scripturally speaking, to the land.
That's amazing.
Now, we've kind of gone in different directions here a little bit, but yeah, I felt like I needed to clarify a couple of things.
It's interesting when I hear you say what God said to the people about land. It's interesting to me that God would even have a conversation with somebody about land. What was he thinking?
It was necessary in the Old Testament to have a nation, a cohesive nation, as Israel was, the Israelites, cohesive, in order that they might keep the promises intact, the promises of the coming Messiah. And that's what exactly they did. So throughout the Old Testament, there are many promises of the coming Messiah. So to have a nation intact, such as the Israelites were, is also the case that they needed property, they needed a land in which they could live. So they had it. But God told them, if you are faithful, this is Deuteronomy chapter 4, you'll keep the land and you'll keep it forever. But if you're unfaithful, you will lose the land. Same thing is Jeremiah chapter 19. Jeremiah was the prophet, said, he went to the elders of the Jews. He said, you're going to lose the land. And he breaks a potter's vessel in front of the Jews and says, as this pot is broken and cannot be made whole again, so this nation will be broken and will not be made whole again. Our Lord even said in Matthew chapter 23 that they lost it, that their house was left unto them empty, the Jews, because of the ultimate rejection of the Messiah. So they lost the promises as a nation. And today, God's Jew is the Christian. These are the promises fulfilled in Christ, and that is all the Old Testament promises fulfilled in Jesus Christ. The land was conditional based upon their obedience to God, but they were disobedient, driven off the land.
That's amazing. So about that, I have a question. Someone want to know, did they lose their land before Jesus came?
They did. They did lose the land. It was occupied by Romans. So when our Lord came, even though the Jews lived there, they were living as a state in the greater empire of Rome, and it was controlled by Romans. So just as Jeremiah prophesied in Jeremiah 19, he said, your nation is going to be left desolate. It cannot be made whole again. They had a small remnant come back from captivity and established themselves under the Persian Empire in 444 B.C., or actually started in 536 B.C., then 444 where Nehemiah came. But when our Lord came, he told them very plainly, their house, whatever is left of their house, it was empty. Matthew 23 and verse 36, it was completely empty. So even though the Jews were there in the time of our Lord, it was ruled over by the Romans, who actually took it from the Greeks, who took it from the Persians earlier.
That's amazing. So they had already lost the land before Jesus got here.
That's correct. They lost the title to the land, and it was a Roman state. It was a Roman territory when Christ came. So even though they had, we might say, well, they still lived on the land. It was true, right. They did, but they were there under the auspices of Rome. They never again, after they went to captivity to Babylon initially in 586 BC, they never owned the land completely, totally as a sovereign state themselves. They came back under the Persians, and the Persians ruled over them at the last of the Old Testament. Then the Greeks came and they ruled over them, even though the Jews were there. Some of the Jews were there. The very small remnant came back, and then Rome came and took over them. But what was left of the nation, there still had a small remnant of the nation living on the land. They absolutely lost it all when our Lord was crucified, and he said, your house is left unto you desolate. And God made that known in the destruction of Jerusalem, A.D. 70, and that's what Jesus predicted in Matthew chapter 24.
Amazing. And so, I guess so much other things I wanted to ask you about, but this is so interesting to me. So you said that now the Christians are the real Jews, right?
That's correct.
And so
Christians, right.
Did God give us some land too?
No, not at all.
What?
That's not land.
Why he didn't give us land?
Well, because there's no need for giving us land. We can be faithful Christians anywhere, and we don't need a temporal empire to have and necessary land. Right. I'm not saying that God did not bless America and give land, but it was not given to the Christians as per se the Christians. It was given to the people who came here, and I believe God's providence oversaw it in the giving of us this land, and we set up a constitution that was the framework of it was given was the framework of the constitution is recognizing God Almighty and that God gives us our rights, and that's why our founding fathers with one voice said this is a Christian nation. They recognized it not because it was something like the Jews had in the Old Testament, but because we were governed by the laws of God.
That's amazing. So one last thing about that. So God made it clear with the Jews, I'm going to give y'all some land, and then if you don't do right before my son get there, I'm going to take the land back, right? And you're the Jews, here's the land. And they messed up by not obeying God. And you said now the Jews. Why didn't God make it clear that we own some, America is our land?
Well, that is not essential now. So what is essential is that we are obedient to Christ. You know, Galatians 3, 27 and 28 tells us very plainly that, you know, for all of you who are sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ did put on Christ. Then he says there can be no male nor female, no Jew nor Greek. We're all one man in Christ Jesus. There is no such thing as Jew and Greek in Christ. So also in 1 Peter chapter 2, there's no such thing as a Jew and Greek in Christ. We're all one in Christ Jesus. So there's not enough necessity, an empire or a land that we need a temporal empire.
So does it say in the Bible that we, the Christians, are the Jews? Does it say that? Or where people, when they read the Bible, they read, oh, the Christians are the Jews now. Does it say that? How did you come up with the idea that the Christians are the Jews?
Well, number one, the passage we just noted, Galatians 3, 27 to 28. Number two is Romans chapter 2, 28 and 29, which tells us very plainly that Christians are God's Jews. So I'll just turn over there real quickly to it just to start us off on that one. But here Paul says, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision. I've not turned into it yet. He is not a Jew who is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, whose circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is of God, not of men. That's how the passage goes. So he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly.
That's deep.
That's right.
That's amazing. Wow, Bill, because of time, I don't know what to do now. Hamas, I am real concerned. And this is what you just said is so important. I almost hate to go to the Hamas thing, but I really want to understand this. I remember years ago when I first started being in media, we reported on Hamas over in other countries fighting and carrying on. I never imagined that they would be in America. And it's always been known that they think of America as big Satan and Israel as little Satan. They are now in our country chanting that and look like they're going to be eventually taken over. How is there anything that we can do to get them out of the country? What's going to happen with that?
Well, I think Donald Trump is our only hope on that. But at this point, regarding Muslims in this country, or Hamas specifically, I don't know how that would even take place, because everybody sees Islam as simply a religion, and they compare it to Christianity. So you have Christianity, you have Islam, you have Buddhism, and so they think of it as religion. What they don't realize is that Islam is like communism. It is primarily a political movement, and it has a religious edge on the edge of it. That's all. The sharp edge. It's a political movement, but the sharp edge is religion. Consequently, that's how people see it. So they will say, "Well, that is, you're legislating against, or you're violating religious rights."
Yeah.
And that's how they're going to frame it always. So Hamas, even though it is a military wing of Islam and the Muslim Brotherhood, that is easier to designate as a terrorist organization. But here's the thing. If people would simply read the Quran, you see, Islam is made up of three things. Number one, the Quran, that's what Muhammad, all of it is what Muhammad said, supposedly. Then you have the Hadith, the things that Muhammad said and did, that is what he did. Then you have the Surah, that is his biography. Those three things make up what we might call the canonical scriptures of Islam. So who is the perfect Muslim?
Hold that thought.
Okay.
We want to come. I know, Bill, when I come back, I want you to finish up that. Then I have to let you go. Because I end up keeping you the whole 3 hours. We can't do that.
That's okay. Okay. All right.
I have a couple callers for you as well.
Okay.
About the Jews and the land thing. And all
sure.
That. Let me take a top of the hour break when I come back. Don't forget what you're about to say right now, right?
Right.
Okay, I gotta take a break. Hate news, not the fake news, and I'll be back in a moment. Now, I totally disagree with the way things are going, but you can't be angry, because that's what the enemy wants. He wants to control you. They do things to make you mad so they can control you. It's like being married. And the wife would do things to make you mad, or she'll do things to make you feel good. And men do that to women, too, when they want something from the woman, especially sex. They'll make her feel good, or they'll make her angry. And the woman's gonna have to say, you don't want to be angry. You want to speak up. You want to disagree with what's going on. It's wrong, but do not be angry. Then you won't have fear. You won't have doubt. You won't have worries. You'll be able to see, but you got to stay away from anger. That's why you must forgive your mothers and your fathers so that you can overcome the spirit of anger. It's a spirit, and it's wicked. Nothing good in anger, because it has no love, folks. You need love to defeat evil. And love is not a weakness. It's a strength. It's from God. It's His nature.
bags are no longer free on Southwest Airlines. You got to pay like $35 for one bag, $45 for a second to check a bag, and other stuff going on in the world. Disorderly Palestinians, hungry Palestinians, desperate Palestinians rushing and rioting, and in one case getting killed or wounded or injured for their free food. The Gaza Health Foundation or whatever, he resigned over it because Israel and America are coordinating, and it's controversial because it's not totally independent of what of Israel's control. And invasion, so-called immigration, at the Supreme Court. Can we deport these illegals to any old country, not their country of origin? Let's say it's too dangerous to go to their country of origin, send them somewhere else. Hopefully we can do that. Can the Supreme Court let us do that, please? And DOGE can get access, according to a judge, to sensitive payment systems to stop payments to projects that should not be funded. Nice. And by the way, Elon Musk is not happy with Trump's big, beautiful bill. He says it can be big, it can be beautiful, but it cannot. He's not sure, so sure that it can be big and beautiful. He says that it's against DOGE principles of cutting the deficit. It actually increases the deficit. So Elon Musk is not agreeing with Trump on the big, beautiful bill, the budget bill. Interesting, huh? This is the end of hour one of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It's Wednesday, May 28th, AD 2025. There is one line open. You can call in right now, even during fake news, not fake news. And JLP will be right back to your calls. And Bill Lockwood should be continuing and taking one or some of your calls, okay? 1-888-775-3773. And if you're overseas or if you're international and you figure out a good way to call in, ideally cheap or free, let us know how you're able to call into the radio show because Skype has been shut down and destroyed by evil Microsoft. Terrible. Commie Nonsense Network, CNN, reports it's been 600 days since Hamas launched a surprise attack on Israel, killing more than 1,200 people, allegedly, according to the reports, kidnapping 250 others, they say. Since then, the militant group has released some of the hostages, but continued firing rockets at Israel. Israel has responded, negotiating the release of hostages, bombing much of Gaza, and killing more than 53,000 people, according to reports. In recent months, Israel's halted access, communist buzzword, to humanitarian aid, which has pushed the enclave's population of more than 2 million Palestinians toward famine. Not a good situation, right? Though the access to aid resumed this week, though, but chaos broke out at a distribution site because these people are desperate, out of control, disorderly. They were breaking down fences, jumping barriers, rushing, rioting. One guy got shot, I think, and killed. It's terrible. Thousands of desperate Palestinians, they said, arrived to receive their free food from a controversial new U.S. and Israel-backed aid distribution program. And Jake Wood, head of the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation, he resigned on Sunday, saying it is not possible to implement this plan while also strictly adhering to the humanitarian principles of humanity, whatever that means, neutrality, impartiality, and independence, which I will not abandon. So he resigned, and then the next day they rioted. And then, today they rioted. Yesterday they rioted. I think they're resuming their help today. Trump asked the Supreme Court on Tuesday to make it easier for his administration to deport people to countries where they don't hold citizenship. The policy adopted soon after Trump returned to office. The Department of Homeland Security is sending illegals to nations other than their home country without notifying them first or giving them a chance to claim a risk of persecution, torture, or death in that third-party country. What a mess. So they sued. Some Sudanese illegals sued. I'm James Hake. Now back to JLP. Hour 2. We'll be right back.
got to stand up strong. Ain't the truth about themselves to understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the races with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Welcome to the second hour of the show. I am Jesse Lee Peterson. You can get involved by calling 888-7753-773, 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question for this week is a doozy. Is a mamma mia or la si, señor? Gracias. Does God allows you to suffer? Does God allows you to suffer? Is my biblical question this week. And if you're running around and you're too busy to just sit and watch the show, you can podcast, of course, but you can always listen to the show live no matter where you are in the whole wide world on your iPhone or iPad by going to the listen line on TalkStream Live at 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And that way, no matter what you where you are and what you're doing, you still can be listening to the show, of course. You can podcast. And we're going to get to your Super Chat, truckloads of Super Chat, and to comment. Excuse me, and to comment and have your to support and have your comments read out loud, go to buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk or BondJLP Cash App. BondJLP Cash App. Manhood Hours coming up in the next hour. So what I want to do to the callers, be patient. I see a lot of you. I know some of you. At least a couple of you want to talk to Bill. I'm going to deal with that. I want Bill Lockwood to finish up what he was saying before the break. I hope he has not forgotten. And Bill Lockwood is the host of Patriot in the Poor Pit. And Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood. He's also a preacher at Our Park Church of Christ in Texas. Make sure you go to American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. You're not going to find or hear any other information like this anywhere but here on the Jesse Lee Peterson Show or at Bill Lockwood, American Liberty with Bill Lockwood. These are the only two places you're going to find this kind of information, all right? Amazing. Bill, thank you for holding on.
Absolutely.
Do you remember where you stopped off at?
No.
Me either. But what we were talking about, though, was Hamas in America and how, how the Quran Bible talk what it says.
Okay.
And then how they're trying to take over America.
Yeah, we kind of bled into two or three subjects there.
Yeah.
And that's my fault for doing that. I just kind of went here and there with it.
No problem. It's good.
Well, so the Muslim Brotherhood or Islam itself, we've talked about the three books, or I should say the three documents that make up the canonical, what we call the canonical scriptures of Islam. And that would be the Sirah, the biography of Muhammad. Then the Hadith, that is what Muhammad supposedly did and said. And that would include such things as, you know, which way did he face when he used the bathroom? What hand did he use to eat with? What hand? How did he do this? All these little all those little things, and they want to copy that. And so that's the Hadith. And then, of course, also the Quran, which is hard to read because it is the statements that Muhammad made, and it's almost like reading the red. I compare it to the red letter edition of the New Testament with the words of Jesus, and you're going to take all the context out of it. We're going to cut up some of those passages, and we're going to place them here and there. And so that's how would that be? That would be very challenging to read. So that's how that's set up. But the important thing to note is that I think I was talking about the perfect Muslim, Muslim. That's where we were.
Yeah.
The one perfect Muslim to follow is Muhammad himself. Muhammad himself was a war chief, and he was a dictatorial ruler. He massacred with his armies many Jews, and when he died, I think it was 632, if I'm not mistaken, 632, 633, when he died, there's not anyone disagreed with him on the whole peninsula of Arabia. That is not explained by freedom. That is explained by dictatorship, and that's what he's about. So the Muslims follow the one perfect Muslim, and that would be Muhammad. And he did it by stealth, by lying, by clandestine operation, and simply by strength of arms. And that's how he was able to take not only the peninsula, but his followers after him took many countries such as Syria through Palestine and all of those territories, Turkey, all it was taken by the Muslims.
That's amazing. And now the Muslims are in our country and on the college campuses around our country. They are chanting death to America.
That's correct.
They're burning the flag of America. They're chanting death to Israel. And they're like on our soil doing this. They're in America, which means that, in my mind, I could be wrong, I hope. But it means like because they want to take over everywhere. They want to rule the world. It means that now they kind of have a foothold here. And if they're not thrown out or stopped, they're going to eventually control America. Am I right?
Well, that's their goal.
Right.
So that's their goal. So Islam divides up the entire world into two houses, the House of Islam and the House of War. House of Islam, those are who are following Muslim teachings. The House of War, that's the rest of the world at which they're with whom they're at war. So they're at war with all of the world that is not Muslim, and America is to them the great Satan.
Right.
So they're at war with us, whether it be by stealth jihad or open jihads. So just think about what's happening in England and in Germany. So they allowed masses of people from Syria to flow in by open borders there. So now they have places in England where they have no-go zones, where the police don't even go because that's too dangerous for them, because they set up Muslim communities. They have a Muslim community here planned in the Dallas area. So I think the Trump administration has put a stop to it right now. They're investigating it, but that's their goal. And so their goal, as a matter of fact, they had set up a conference in 2025, I mentioned, where they said we want to have 4,000 mosques, I think it was 4,000 mosques, and 50,000 Muslim, or 4,000 mosques, and 50,000 Muslim lawyers in the country in order for us to continue the stealth jihad, the takeover of America.
That's amazing.
They also want about 50 senators. They want about 50 senators, people in Congress also, senators and congressmen.
That's crazy. And they've already taken over Dearborn, Michigan, right?
Right.
So they're going to take over America eventually. What are we going to do?
Well, you're going to either become Muslim or pay the jizya. The jizya is the tax that you have. So there's a lot of stories in the Muslim literature about individuals who had to pay the jizya. And that would be that you come and they grab you by the beard, they slap you in the face, they make you get down on your knees and confess that Muhammad is the true prophet of God, and you pay a tax because you're not a Muslim. If you're a Jew, they exterminate you. So that's because they're considered pigs and apes in Islamic material. So that's why there's a continual war there.
So what's wrong with we, the American people, that we just allow anybody to take over our country. Any whatever, and I'm thinking in particular about the black people, how the white people allowed the black people to take over, and they only destroyed America. They did not make it better. And now they're allowing them, they allowed the Mexicans to come in by the way of border, and they're making a mess. And then now Islam. How come we're just sitting back? What's wrong with whites? And what's wrong with we the people that we just sit back, allow these things to happen?
I think it's just plain weakness, Jesse. I just think it's weakness in the mind and weakness in our spine. And I think that's what's happening. And we have become so accustomed to being soft and just want to be left alone, get along to get along, and all the political correct material that tells us, you know, that Islam is a religion of peace and that kind of thing. And so we don't want to be prejudiced against the minority communities, because if we oppose what's happening with the border, then they say, the liberals, what do they say? Well, oh, you are prejudiced against brown-skinned people.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with the color of the skin. It has to do with the different ideas that they bring in with them.
But why can't white people, we just let them say that, but don't care about what they say? Because when people can control you with words, they can destroy you. But
right.
But a word is just a word, and then you make it a big deal, right? Why can't we just let them say that, but yet do what we got to do to save America?
Yeah, I just think that we're weak. I don't think we've also allowed the education system to destroy our appreciation for the God-given rights that we do have. The family, we've allowed the family, because the family has been disintegrating before our eyes. And so that's something that's been taking place consistently in America. So all of that's occurring, but we just become so weak and weak-minded, and we don't stand for the truth, and we just say, you know, we want it. Well, a lot of people go to church, and all they do is they listen to instrumental music, which is not authorized in the New Testament, and they listen to people sing, and they kind of sway around and praise God. And what is the message? What is the person saying? What do they preach? What are they talking about?
Yeah.
We don't pay attention to that. Just to praise Jesus and be done with it. And it's just like, and this is what I mentioned Bill Maher. You know, this is what his big criticism of Christianity was, because he was taking on all of these religions who are really not deep thinkers. And they said, you know, this is a miracle. This is a miracle. And it's going on. Regardless of the fact that the Bible teaches miracles have ceased and no longer in the world today. And the religious and our religion should be a thought religion and a heart. But we're just not that way anymore.
Amazing. One other quick thing, then I got to take some call, and you got to go, Bill.
I do? I don't know.
President Trump brought in some white people from South Africa because there's a genocide upon the whites there in South Africa. And this president is the first government that I've ever heard that looked out for the white people being genocided and things like that. And then there are some blacks and some other liberal whites, I think, who are against President Trump bringing in white people. What do you say about that?
I think that's evil for them to think that regarding President Trump, because I think he's doing right to bring them in.
Yeah.
What has happened in South Africa has happened in large part because of us. We cut the legs out from underneath the government there. Now they say, well, that was apartheid, and that's the worst thing. You know, the whites controlled the government, and the blacks were not in control of the government. So, all right, so we began to put pressure on them. See, here we get meddling in other people's business. I'm not saying that I agree with apartheid. I'm not saying that this is how the British government did it, and I agree with it. But that's what it was. Well, we want to get over there and say, we don't agree with your racial quotas. So now we cut that started in Clinton's time. So we cut the legs out from underneath the government, the South African government. And now the African National Congress, you know, which the Nelson Mandelas of the world were part of, and they were people who were violent as they began. They were actually an arm of the communist movement, and they absolutely were about destroying the government that had been in place. So now we've helped them with that. We put embargoes on them because everybody said, oh, we can't have people having apartheid. It's interesting that we will do that to South Africa, but why don't we do the same thing to China? How about the same? Why don't we put embargoes on China? Why don't we have the same outcry about China demanding that the one-child policy be reversed and that they must kill the second child if they kill the first child if it's a girl? Why don't we boycott China? Why don't we boycott the Arabic nations who make the women go around in burqas and refuse them rights? Why don't we do that? No, we don't. We're not about that. It's about the black and white issue. And so now the South Africans who are fleeing from the, and what's happening now is that the country has been turned over to the blacks that are there, and they're destroying the farmers and the farms that are there. So now they're trying to escape. They're trying to run away. And our liberals just, oh, we can't have that. We can't have that. I agree with Trump on this.
Me too. 100%. Bill, let's go to a couple calls here.
Sure.
Wayne from Texas. Wayne, thanks for calling. You're on the air with Bill Lockwood.
How you doing?
Hey, Wayne, how are you?
Not bad. I just had two questions for you. I noticed you said that the Jews were displaced, right?
Correct.
I heard somewhere that you said they were displaced because they didn't keep the law. I heard someplace that they were actually 12 tribes of Israel, and that 10 of them didn't keep the law, and these are the ones that got lost. And so now there's something called the 10 lost tribes of Israel. But the Jews kept the Sabbath, I guess, and so they kept their identity. You have anything to say about that?
So that's a good question, Wayne. So in point of fact, the 10 tribes, the northern kingdom, as you know, the kingdom split. And it split when Solomon's son became the king, Rehoboam. So the 10 northern tribes separated themselves under Jeroboam the king. And the two southern tribes, which really amalgamated between Judah and Benjamin under Rehoboam in the south. There was not any good king in the north, and they went to captivity in 722 to the Assyrian Empire. They're not lost tribes, so to speak, as if to say that there's some group of people somewhere out here maintaining their identity, because they were amalgamated with the peoples of the world. So that when we come to the New Testament, we find individuals who were representing the 10 tribes of the north still there. As a matter of fact, when the Jews came back from captivity in 586, the southern kingdom went to captivity to Babylon, and it was basically the same territory that the northern tribes had gone to. When they came back, there were people who were representing the northern tribes. They were still there. They're not lost. They were simply, they amalgamated with the peoples of the world, and they are no longer an entity in and of themselves. So as the prophets would say with one voice, they were only going to be a remnant that was left, and that's all that was left. So there are no existing today 10 lost tribes of Israel at all.
Yeah, some people say like the tribe of Dan is the tribe of
Wayne, your phone is not clear. Wayne. Hey, Wayne.
Yeah.
Come back to your phone. Repeat your question.
Okay. So I'll move on to my second question. The second question is that you said that God did not leave us, the Christians, a land. I am thinking that in Hebrews it says that a rest still remains, which I guess refers to a spiritual rest.
That's correct. That is the spirit. That is the rest. The rest that remains for the people of God is referring to the heavenly reward that we have after we die. So that's a spiritual rest. It is a spiritual rest. It is not a land per se, but it is a heavenly rest. And that's the context of Hebrews chapter 11 and 12.
So I'm thinking that spiritual rest is not, we don't have to die to get there. I think we can get there through the silent prayer.
Well, so that's Hebrews 11, verses 13 through 16. And in those texts, we're told that there was a rest, that Abraham still looked for the rest that was there for the people of God. But obviously, by the context, it's referring to after he dies, because it tells us, you know, these all, talking about the heroes of faith, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For people who say such things make it manifest that they're seeking after a country of their own. If indeed they had been mindful of the country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, a heavenly, that's what he says, it's a heavenly country. So
Amen.
Therefore, God is not ashamed.
I rest my case.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Wayne. I appreciate it. Let me go quickly to, thank you, Wayne. Chris, not Chris, but Trey out of South Carolina. Trey, you're on with Bill Lockwood.
Hey, Jesse, can y'all hear me okay?
Yes, sir. How are you, Trey?
Doing well. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Good.
Great. No, man, it's good, right?
Yes, sir.
But I'm a former educator myself, too, and I started my own business, actually when I was 14, but took back over it again after some years of teaching and coaching. And so I respect and love listening to you, too. Obviously, huge fan of Jesse. I've spoken to him plenty of times, but... and Jesse, you've been talking about South Africa for years. I've been telling a lot of people. I said, Jesse taught me about South Africa a long time ago. So you've been saying the truth on that. But my question for you, Bill, is just, you know, I hope I say her name right, Paula White, so head of the Trump's brought in for, I think it's his faith office. Love that we have a cabinet like that and everything, too. But just your thoughts on her. I'm a big Trump supporter, and you know pretty much everything that he's done.
And because of time, Bill, go straight to your question. I want him to have time.
Yeah, I just want to know his thoughts on Paula White, because you know biblically, woman's not supposed to be the leader. She's leading the faith. I saw that she was
okay.
In.
Hold on, because of time. Yes, yeah. Bill. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and I'm not familiar with Paula White. Okay,
Paula
tell me
White
her position.
Is the woman. Paula White is the woman who is now the head of President Trump. She's a Christian lady. I mean, a preacher lady, Christian, kind of like a whatever. And she's
prosperity
preacher. And she's the head of Trump religion-run department there at the White House.
Okay, so
in D.C.
Yeah, Wayne, that's a good question because. We're told in 1 Timothy chapter 2, as well as in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 or chapter 11, that the men are to be leaders in spiritual matters, as well as in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that the women are to be silent in the churches. Now, that's speaking about in the churches and teaching, but in 1 Timothy 2, he tells us that the woman is not to exercise authority over the man. So as far as a woman being a spiritual leader like that, I don't believe that's correct. I believe that that is something that ought not to be the case. It ought to be a man being the leader.
Amen. Exactly. And I know that she was speaking in a forum with all these world religion leaders and how we should be accepting of all religions, which, you know, all that's going to the one world religion that's supposed to be one day, whether it be something as Trump would support that administration compared to the Biden administration, right? Or thank goodness not the Harris administration. So
yeah,
I just want to get your thoughts on that because I've seen that. And like I said, I know Trump's fairly new. I know he was raised on Christianity, but just some of that stuff, I've been praying and thinking about it. I knew that you would have good insight to it.
Well, thank you for that. You know, yeah, 1 Timothy 2 is pretty plain that she is not to take the leadership role in these matters.
Thank you, Trey. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse.
All right, buddy.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you, Trey.
Bill, last word, and tell the folks how to get to your website and everything.
Well, the website is AmericanLibertyWithBillLockwood.com. I only have it there for the donate button if you want to donate to the program. I do get because it supports the Patriotic Pulpit, which I put out as a podcast. And you can find that on Amazon Music app. You can find it on YouTube or on Spotify Music app. And then separate and apart from that is Bible Studies with Bill Lockwood. And I am the preacher at the Church of Christ in Iowa Park. So that's a separate study at all, separate from the patriotic pulpit. So those are the two avenues, really, that I go through.
Last word, in closing, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming on, man. That was amazing.
Well, thank you for having me, Jesse. I surely appreciate you. Appreciate your stand for the truth, and you've always been a great friend. Thank you so much for everything you do.
And so have you. And we'll see you soon, man. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. Looking forward to it.
I'm glad you didn't have class today so you can get all that in. Thank you, Bill.
All right. Thank you so much, Jesse.
All right, bud.
Bye-bye.
Amazing. Bye now. Bill Lockwood, folks, make sure you check him out. And you got a lot more to hear. One of the smartest white men on this side of heaven. American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. American Liberty with Bill Lockwood.com. Let me do this because we're about to come to a break. And when I come back from the break, we're just going to go to calls. But let me do some super chats. Going out to the break.
Super chats.
Oh, amazing.
Lori says, amen to church, Jesse. I love when you said this journey is not learning or becoming something and to let ownership go.
Right. Thank the you. Journey is not about learning. The journey is about overcoming learning. What the? Amazing. Thank you.
Shout out, Lori. Stu from the UK, three coffees. Happy belated birthday, Jesse. Shout out to the traditional Catholics making the world a better place.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Amazing. That's kind.
Yeah.
Cornerstone on Cash App, salute. God bless America. American flag emoji.
God bless America. Thank you.
Medi says, Jesse said he'll smoke on this one. Do you think before you speak?
About what? No. That may be an issue. Thank you.
That's funny. Thank you, Medi. Yeah. Zit, Israel was born and a child born to Israel. I believe it was Jesse Lee.
Amazing. Thank you.
Mada.
I love Israel. Thank you.
Mada, I won't say his last name, says, happy birthday, Jesse.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Mada.
Yeah.
Elijah with a diamond. If Jews are God's chosen, why are they enemies of mankind?
Maybe that's why. Because Satan hates God, so you're going to hate his children. Amazing. Thank you.
John says, my grandfather died of Alzheimer's at 84. Tough to watch for sure.
Yeah, my father inspired of Alzheimer's as well. So I know what you mean. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Yeah. May his soul rest in peace, by the way.
Yeah. And that one guy died. He had Alzheimer's as well. Phil Robertson.
Oh, he had it too?
Mm-hmm.
Amazing.
Bridget. Three coffees. Happy Memorial Day, JLP and crew. Best show on this side of heaven.
Thank you, and thanks for your support. Making it happen. Thank you.
Three coffees from Eric. Those who celebrate George Floyd lead others into hell. Don't do drugs. Don't commit crimes. Support the police. Find God, said Al Sharpton. Never.
Amazing. Thank you.
Gregatron, happy Memorial Day. Love y'all.
Thank you. Love you back.
Old Salty Dog on pilled.net. Donated 220 gold pills. Thank you, sir.
Right on. Thank you.
Elijah with a few diamonds here. Blacks learn to play victim against whites from Jews. Celebrating 5 years sober for George Floyd. All black heroes are thugs or B-words. He doesn't say B-words. I'm censoring it because I'm dainty. Like LeBron.
I don't know about all that.
Right. But thank you, getting it off your chest,
yes.
Elijah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
He also says, John Lennon's Imagine song should have been about blacks learning to behave themselves. Macron mad because his wife is a man like Big Mike. I disavow. Same tribe pushing white hate in South Africa doing it here,
amazing.
He says.
What a mess, huh? Thank you.
Black women just wake up fat and angry, huh? Says Elijah.
Amazing, that's for sure. Thank you.
And we'll read the rest later, guys.
Thank you all. Let me take a break. When I come back, your phone calls. 888-77-JESSE. Steve, thank you for calling and thanks for holding. How have you been helped by the show?
I'm going to tell you this. I believe you might go down in history as one of the greatest, if not the greatest, black man that ever lived on planet Earth, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know anybody before you that's been that great. You know, freeing the slaves is one thing, but you've been freeing people of their mind, which matters, it should be anyhow, to you more than anything else, because with the mind not being right, there ain't nothing else going to happen right anyway.
If you can doubt every thought, because you're not your thoughts, if you can doubt every thought, knowing that you're not your thoughts, you don't create them, they're not from God, that they're from the deceiver, the great deceiver, Satan. If you can doubt every thought, you can be free just like that. At an instant, bring every thought into captivity. It's so amazing. Okay, folks, check out our merch, amazing merch, at rebuildingaman.com/stores, rebuildingaman.com/stores. My coffee is there, amazing coffee, rebuildingaman.com, all hats and all kind of stuff, and Jesse Lee Peterson.shop, all right? I want to go back to the busy phones here. And let me go to St. Louis, talk to a first-time caller. Adrian, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hi, Jesse. How are you today?
All is well.
All is well over here.
Right on.
I just wanted to call and thank you for your continuous message over the past 30 years, however long you've been doing this. The world is always changing, but your message has always been the same, and that is the message of love, and the message of love is telling the truth.
Yeah.
A lot of people just don't understand that. They think that love is, you know, anything but that, and you're just doing amazing work. I also live in a liberal hellhole. You live in Los Angeles. I live in St. Louis. And it is just lies, lies, lies all the time about the people who are causing trouble and messing up the city. And the only way that you can confront and solve a problem is to be honest about it in the first place, which you have been for a long time. Some people are just now catching up. I was definitely in a fallen state for a long time. And just your teachings and your message has always been true, and I just wanted to thank you for that.
You're welcome, man. You stay with it, stay with it, stay with it. It only become clearer to you. It would be amazing. Thank you.
It is. No, thank you.
Right on. Thank you, bud. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Jesse.
All right, bud. Amazing. 888-775-3773. Let me go to Georgia. Georgia on my mind. And talk to Tawana out of Georgia. Tawana, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, Jesse. How you doing today?
All is well. Amazing.
I want to answer your biblical question.
Does God allow you to suffer?
Well, at first I was like, okay, no, he don't allow you to suffer. Because I heard Hake and Anchor Baby yesterday. They was a little hesitant of responding to what you said, because you said that he don't allow you to suffer.
Right.
But I have to agree with them. And this is why.
You agree with Hake and Anchor Baby?
I do. And this is why.
And you're saying that he does allow you to suffer?
Yes.
And the reason you say that?
The reason I say that is because if you would have said, do he want you to suffer? I would say, no, he don't want us to suffer, but he'll allow you to stay in him. Because I often hear you say, you know, even whatever you're telling people, which is true, you know, you can bring the people pretty much to the water, but you can't make them drink it. And some people like to live in their hell. And when you're living in your hell and you're not working on yourself, you're living in your hell and you're suffering. And then if you drop your body in your hell, you're going to suffer forever. So I just believe that if you are working on yourself, you are, you know, just like the black, they want to live in their hell. So God don't want them to suffer, but they decided that, hey, this is the life I'm going to live. This is what I'm going to do. So guess what? They're going to suffer. So until they get it right, you know, it means they will suffer. So it's not that God don't love them. It's just that, you know, you have to make a decision. You have to make a decision if you're going to work on yourself or you're going to stay in your hell. And if you stay in your hell, you are suffering. So that's just my take on it.
Amazing. Well, I appreciate that. I have to wait until Sunday, even though I want right now to respond, but I got to wait till Sunday to respond. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome, and happy birthday. I had to say that, too.
Right. Amazing, huh? Thank you.
Yeah, you look good. I'm telling you, you look good for your age.
Right on.
Black dude don't crack, do it.
Black don't crack. Thank you, Tawana. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Have a good day, okay?
All right. Amazing. Chris out of Costa Rica, heard around the world. Chris, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate it, man.
Yes, sir.
Jesse, I know you're doing well.
I'm
not going to ask.
Yes. Amazing.
Jesse, so I've been listening to you for a couple of years now, maybe 10 years or so, and you really helped me put Christianity and forgiveness into perspective. And my life has changed tremendously since that. And I've been doing it religiously, the silent prayer in the morning, every day, evening, most days, probably maybe 5 times I've forgotten to do it in the past like 10 years or so. However, I stick to it. Uh-huh. And last year, around July or so, I had a business deal where I was going to send the car down to Costa Rica. I was in Texas at the time. I got some friends together and they were going to drive the car from Mexico down to Costa Rica. So I met with them in Mexico with the vehicle. And because it's so corrupt there, the authorities were trying to rip them off and whatnot. So I had to drive with them. So we kind of turned it into a caravan, 2 vehicles. It was myself, my wife, and then 3 other friends. And as we're making it down there, we're you know, constantly being asked for money. We kept saying no, and we were probably 60 kilometers or so from the border to Guatemala from Mexico. And there the police stopped us, pulled us over, took pictures of everything. And I knew something was up immediately. You know, it instantly came back, that thing that you always say where you know that you know. So I instinctively knew, like I knew it in my gut, that this isn't right. Something's happening here that's not correct at all. So I stayed calm. My wife wasn't feeling well. I didn't mention anything to her. I didn't mention anything to my friends that were in the other vehicle. And they just had us follow them. And I knew that wasn't right, but I just stayed calm. I'm like, all right, I'm getting these thoughts telling me all these little things. It's screaming at me and whatnot to overreact and whatnot. But I'm like, nope, I have to trust in God. I have faith in God, something that I one of the answers that you gave to how do you know you trust God, and you said you never doubt him. So I'm like, I don't doubt God. I know something is going to happen and it's going to be taken care of. So he took us to this dirt road. On that dirt road, they were kind of motioning for us to get off, and there were some guys in motorcycles. It was empty, nobody else on the road, and some dude in flip-flops and shorts, big fat dude. And I told all my friends and my wife, I told everyone to stay in the car. I didn't even park next to him. I parked next on the other side of the road, and I walked towards the cop, and I just pointed. I was like, hey, so Guatemala's that way. He goes, yeah. I was like, oh, okay. And I just kind of waved and walked back to the car, got back in the car, started driving towards Guatemala. And I look in the back mirror, and these guys, they all get out and they're waving at us to stop. I'm like, oh man. I'm like, if the cops are telling you to stop, you got to stop, because, you know, they're just going to call someone up ahead or whatnot. So right. We turned around. Yeah. Turned around. They, one of the guys got into the car that I was with, that I had my wife with and a friend of mine, and opened the door and just got in. Didn't say anything, the fat dude. So I just stayed calm. My friend kind of freaked out, but as the guy walked in, he goes, hey, Carlos, how are you? And my friend Carlos was like, hey, not realizing that this guy, there's no reason he should know my friend's name. So I'm calm this entire time. My wife is kind of like, all right, whatever, because she sees me. And that's something that later on she said. She was like, I was calm the entire time because my husband was calm. And so I knew that this isn't right, but I'm like, all right, God's going to take care of this. My friends are in the back in the other car, and they're freaking out. You know, they don't know what to do, and they're just following me. So my friend and his one of his female friends, she's like, she's freaking out. He's like, no, let's just follow Chris, and let's see what happens. So at that time, my wife, as I mentioned, wasn't feeling well, so I told the guy was like, hey, we got to go to this other place, and that's where we're going to look at your paperwork and whatnot. I'm like, yeah, we can't right now because my wife is sick. So we need to go back to that checkpoint where they originally stopped us, because I knew that they had a little building there. He's like, no, we got a bathroom over there where we're going. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm just listening to him, but I'm not going to follow what he's saying. So drive back to where we're headed, to where we originally got stopped. And I'm like, and the guy's like, no, you got to turn. I'm like, look, my wife's not feeling well. She needs to use the restroom. He's like, we have a bathroom. I said, no, we got to go there. So there's nothing he can do. He's just kind of yelling at me in the back. And I'm just driving. I drive there. I get my wife out. I go back into that little kind of small police station. I tell my wife, stay in there as long as possible. And you got to act as sick as possible. She's like, all right. She stayed in there for 45 minutes. The two guys in the motorcycles that I saw on the road, they had followed us, and they were across the street just sitting there on the bikes just watching us. The police that had gone were watching us. Everybody was watching us, and I was just calm. I'm like, all right, God's going to take care of this. He's going to tell me what to do. This is going to be fine. I'm not panicking. I see my friends. I'm like, hey, my wife's not feeling well, because the guy is there listening. I'm like, all right. So 45 minutes, my wife walks out, and she's like, there's nothing else for me to do. She's like, I'm just standing in the bathroom. All right. Okay, so this is what's going to happen. You're pregnant and you're bleeding, and this is our first child, and we need to go to the hospital. And she's like, all right. So I'm like, just act really weak. So I kind of put my arm over her. She puts her arm over me, walk her to the car, and I tell the guy, listen, we got to go to the hospital because my wife's pregnant. She's bleeding. This is our first child. By the way, my wife never wanted to have kids. I never wanted to have kids. I had a vasectomy, so it's impossible. So I'm making all this up. I'm making all this up. And then I tell my friends, listen, we're going to the hospital because my wife is pregnant. They don't know anything. They're just following whatever I'm saying. So I'm driving. I have my phone up on the dash. I've got it set up I look for the hospital. And I'm just driving through the streets, taking red lights. My friends are trying to keep up with me because I've got to act like with this urgency. I'm not slowing down. I'm driving as fast as possible. I'm looking back. The guys in the motorcycle are chasing us. The guy that's in the car behind me, he's on the phone kind of yelling at me to go this way, go that way. Then he's like, look, I know she's not feeling well, but we got a doctor where we're going to go. I'm like, yeah, I understand, but I don't care. My wife is my priority right now, so we got to go. I'm following Google Maps, and it's completely off because everywhere it's going, it's taking us. There's dead ends, there's construction and whatnot. And I'm like, oh, geez. All right, well, I'm not panicking or anything. And all the while, I hear all these thoughts and whatnot, and I just stayed calm. I'm like, all right, I'm just gonna listen to that voice that of God that doesn't speak, that voiceless voice, as you said. I'm like, I'm staying calm with this. I know it's gonna be taken care of. And even the devil was like, hey, crash into that police car. That way you make a big scene, and you know, if you make a big scene, nothing can happen to you. Like, yeah, right. In my mind, I'm like, okay, that's interesting, but that's not going to happen. So I'm driving, a guy yelling at me. At one point, I look back and I don't see my friends. They're no longer following me. So I think, oh, okay, something happened. So let me turn around and make a U-turn. And I ask the guy, I'm like, hey, what happened to my friends? He's like, oh, no, they went to the place I was saying, and I knew he was lying. So I go back, and I caught them at some other street. They couldn't go as fast as I was going, and they kind of got stuck in traffic. So they saw me, got behind me, started driving, and then the guy was like, hey, if you want, just drop me off here at this corner with your friend Carlos. Leave us here. You guys go to the hospital, and then you come back and pick us up. And my friend Carlos is just, he has no idea what's happening. He's like, yeah, that's fine. You can drop us off here. And I turned to the guy. I said, listen, man, we all came together. We're all going together. So that's not happening. We drive to the hospital, get out, lock the doors. The guy won't get out of the car. So I'm walking with my wife, and I look back. He's not getting out of my car. So I unlock the door. I open the door, and I just look at him. But it was fascinating because I didn't say anything, but I just looked at him with a stern face, and immediately he reacted. And he got out of the car quick, closed the door, locked it. My friends all huddled around me, and I've got my wife, and my friend's like, Chris, I'm scared. I'm so scared. I'm like, relax. Everything is fine. Don't worry about it. We get to the ER. At the ER, they already had a chair waiting for my wife. I'd never called the hospital. None of us called the hospital, but they already knew that we were coming. So this is all kind of they're all intertwined. So we get there. They drop. I go in with my wife, and they're like, listen, only family. So my friends had to wait in the waiting room. So walk in. They had a room already set up for her. They lay her down. They gave her an IV. She really wasn't feeling well, but she was kind of exaggerating the whole thing. And they're looking over her, trying to take care of her. All the while, I'm staying calm. And this is like 30 minutes or so, and my friends, they burst through the doors into the emergency room, and they go to the room. They're like, listen, we don't care what's happening, but we're going to be in here. I didn't say anything to them, and the hospital staff knew that they were serious, so they kind of stayed there. And at one point, the female friend that was with us came up to me. She said, Chris, I'm so scared. And she started getting really nervous and about to cry. My friend was going to hug her. I was like, no, let her be. I'm like, and I just talked to her.
Because of time, how did it end?
Okay. So at the end, ended up calling the U.S. Embassy. They told us to call the police. Police were in on it as well because they showed up. They showed up. And one of the nurses that was there said, listen, that's the captain of the police. He's the chief of police. He's in charge of all these other guys that are searching for you. They're going to turn you into those guys, so don't go with them. I said, all right, call back the U.S. Embassy. U.S. Embassy sent the Mexican National Guard. National Guard came out, and they made a big show because they showed up with these huge guns, and the lights were blaring and whatnot, and people were freaking out in the hospital because they see all these lights, and they're like, who are these people? So they took us to, I'm making it really short. So they ended up waiting until my wife could get, exited from the airport. They took us to a hotel. We waited there. They kept the guard outside for us. The next day they took us to the airport, and we left the cars at the airport. And then from there we flew out of Mexico. And so, but the entire time, even while these things were going on, my friends were like, they're like, how are you so calm? He's like, we're freaking out. Like, we're so scared. One of them actually had a panic attack.
So they were trying to kidnap you?
Yeah, it was between the police and the cartel. They were trying to kidnap. And so they were asking, why was I so calm? They're like, how are you so calm? Like, because I have faith in God. I'm like, I have no doubt at all that he's going to take care of us. And he took care of us, got us out of there. And, you know, so I thank you and for kind of leading the way towards understanding how this world is really, really based off of fear and emotions and whatnot. And if you have true faith in God and you don't doubt in Him, He's going to take care of you.
Absolutely, so, man. That's an amazing story.
Took care of five people right then and there.
Wow.
Yeah, that's...
Well, you better stay out of Mexico.
No, wait. I went back by myself to get my cars.
God ain't going to help you no more.
No, I got them out. I got the cars out. I'm like, that's it. I'm not going back.
I'm telling you. That's an amazing story. Let me ask. So are you calling internationally right now?
Actually, right now I'm in Miami.
Oh, okay.
So, we were in Costa Rica that whole time.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how the international callers can call us.
Oh, well, my phone number is an online phone number. So wherever I have Wi-Fi, I can use it. I did that intentionally, so I've had it for years.
All right.
So it'll show up as, yeah.
Thank you, man. It amazing show up story. And I'm glad
thank you,
you
man.
Guys
I appreciate
well.
It.
All right. Thank you.
Thank
wow.
you.
Wow. But a super chat.
Super chat.
Amazing story. I ain't going to Mexico.
I know. I've never been, and it's because of stuff like that.
I've gone down to Cancun twice. I ain't going back.
And he's right. The cops are corrupt. They'll, stop you, and you have to bribe them.
I hear a lot of that.
Shout out. Everblazer.
Shout out to the cops in Mexico.
I'd rather sleep on the roof than sleep in the house with Phyllis. That's Everblazer.
Amazing. Thank you.
I heard that she said sorry. She was just mad.
Sorry, I didn't mean no harm. Oh, baby, can we go out tonight and make everything all right? Thank you.
Pastor Chatelet unpilled, donated 111 gold pills. Caller, you are not getting our guns. You can cope and seethe. Big smile emoji.
Amazing. You're right.
That's from Monday.
Thank you.
This lady is why black fatigue exists, says Pastor Chatelet with another bunch of gold pills. Phyllis, just like her mama, she need to go and forgive.
Amazing. Thank you.
Hey, Phyllis, says Eric with three coffees. It's women's responsibility who they sleep with. Whom? Women reward indifference. They make babies with men who don't love them. The anger the mother holds toward the father is her doing. Makes sense, Phyllis?
Good point. Amazing. Indeed. Thank you.
That's right. Commander Kim on a rumble rant. In Africa, there is no word. Oh, I already said this, I think. There's no word for maintain. So they don't even have the concept for maintaining.
We talked about that yesterday. Amazing.
Mark,
what's
wrong with the blacks? Face
what's
palm.
What's wrong with the blacks?
Strong arm, heart, idea, and thanks. Bond not playing with Satan.
That's for sure. Thank you.
Elijah, blacks commit more school shootings than whites. Jewish media covers up their crimes. He says a certain type of pet crimes. South Africa has a crime problem because there's too many blacks. Everywhere they go in large numbers, crime follows.
Indeed. What's wrong with the blacks? We got to, somehow or another, we got to get the message out to the black. Your problems are within you. It's the anger. Forgive your mothers all over the world and return to your fathers and you'll be fine. Amazing. Thank you.
Three coffees from Patrick O in Wicked Witch of the West Voice. They said, Auntie Maxine, whatever you do, just don't go around using the word impeachment. So I said, impeachment, 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 impeachment. What a mess.
A mess. Thank you.
Anthony on Cash App, that one angry black woman, what a mess.
Phyllis?
Probably.
You said Phyllis called today?
Yeah, I heard that she called and said sorry. She was just mad.
Oh, amazing. Thank you all.
Shout out to Elijah, Bill West, Cactus Eater Bear, Games for Rec, and the rest of the supporters on Monday's D-Live stream. Gregatron with a coffee. Jesse, I have a biblical question for you. Don't answer it now. I want you to smoke on it. Are you ready? Is it possible to unite the races? Don't answer it now.
Amazing. How come we are not going to break?
That's a good question. It's a conundrum.
We're supposed to be like at break right now.
Yeah, I'm supposed to be reading hate news already.
Not the fake news, but the hate news. Thank you all. Let me take a break.
The Lord wanted us to do those extra super chats.
I love that. Absolutely. We got to finish it when I come back. I want to go straight to the calls. Let me take a break. Man, who and I was coming up. I'm coming straight to the calls, and then we're going to get back to the super chats and blah, blah, blah. Quint Bray hate news, not the fake news. I'll be right back.
A whole lot of mess going on in the world. SpaceX Starship Super Heavy disappeared, I heard. They lost it. They surmise, some people speculate, that it disintegrated over the Indian Ocean. Space is real, guys. Anyway, out of control, Harvard, they're getting reined in. Whoa, Nelly, Harvard, you got to get reined in by our greatest president, Trump's administration. And this self-important bipartisan, which means evil, climate and weather scientists, they're doing like a live streaming protest to Trump's cuts to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NASA, and Department of Energy. What a mess. Those scientists. And this rock guy named Rick Derringer. I'm butchering his name. He died at 77, gone too soon. Rest in peace. He worked with many a celebrity and a talented guy. Rest in peace. This is the end of hour two of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show. It is Wednesday, May 28th, AD 2025. Manhood Hour is coming right up, guys. Manhood Hour, third hour of the show every Wednesday. RebuildingTheMan.com. Shout out, that's Bond, JLP's nonprofit. You can donate and support. There is one line open. You can call in right now to the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, 1-888-775-3773. And if you figure out how to call in free from overseas or a good way to do it for other people to do it, let us know so we can pass your valid tips along. Harvard in its latest salvo against Harvard University. The white on the inside White House, according to Commie Nonsense Network, has directed federal agencies to cancel all remaining contracts with the Ivy League school, two senior Trump administration officials said. Such a move would cost the university about $100 million. That's not that much. On top of the $2.65 billion already cut from Harvard after the administration demanded the school change their phony hiring and admission requirements. Eliminate evil DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, and alter rules for on-campus so degenerate protests. The school resisted those orders because they are communists, and they filed a lawsuit claiming the government's actions violate their First Amendment. Please. Last week, the administration... Oh, you're violating our First Amendment because you won't give us free stuff anymore. Anyway, last week, the administration tried to halt Harvard's ability to enroll foreign students, but a federal so-called judge put that on hold. Put it on hold. On evil judge. On Tuesday, the State Department instructed U.S. embassies and consulates around the world to pause new student visa appointments. Based. Nice. Right on. While conducting the ninth uncrewed test flight of its Starship mega rocket... That means a million rocket, I guess. SpaceX lost control of the spacecraft, likely disintegrated over the Indian Ocean. The company attempting to reuse a Super Heavy rocket booster, previously flown and recaptured after a launch in January. The company, SpaceX, wants to recover, refurbish, and reuse as much of the rocket as possible to save money on future missions. Starship made it further into its flight path during Flight 9 than previous tests, but not able to accomplish key objectives, deploying the test satellite it was carrying and reigniting engines upon re-entry. The last two test missions, Flight 7 in January, Flight 8 in March, ended in explosive failures, but entertaining. I'm James Hake. Nice. The Jesse Lee Peterson Show is coming right up, guys. Hour 3, Manhood Hour.
Thank
to stand up strong, face the truth about themselves, to understand what's been wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
Uniting the racist with truth instead of dividing them with lies. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. I'm turning my headset way up because I'm having little issues. Now I can hear it, but it's way up. We're also rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. Welcome to the third hour of the show today. You can get involved by calling 888-775-3773, 888-77-JESSE. And my biblical question, a juicy one, does God allow you to suffer? Does God allow you to suffer? Amazing question. Does God allow you to suffer? We have every way that you can watch and support the show listed on jesseleepeterson.com/show. And if you're out and about doing whatever you're doing, if you're out and about and you want to hear the show live, and you can, no matter where you are and what you're doing, we are heard around the world. Monday through Friday from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific time. You can podcast all the shows, but you can be listening on your iPhone or iPad by calling 605-615-4131. 605-615-4131. And to donate and have your comments read out loud, go to Buy Me a Coffee. BuyMeOnCoffee.com/JLP Talk or Bond JLP Cash App. Bond JLP Cash App. All right. It's Wednesday, third hour of the show. Every Wednesday, we take all calls, but every Wednesday, third hour has been and will always be Manhood Hour. What is a man? What is a man? Man.
It's an adult man. Human male.
Manhood. Hillary or President Trump?
I voted for Hillary Clinton.
Beta. Beta male. Yo, yikes. A man is a male return to man. Alpha male. Live right, be right, and lead the way.
We do have some breaking news this morning. Yes. Olivia's water has broke.
That's
and
right.
She is anchoring the news now in active labor.
That's not right, right?
Olivia's water broke, and she's still here. She's been doing the entire show.
I'd rather be at work than at the hospital.
Make it make sense.
She doesn't even love the unborn child. She's sitting up there with pee on her. Looking silly on the news. All for ego's sake, if ever we needed the men to come back to natural order, it is now. This woman insane. She up there, the bad, the bus, the baby's sliding out, and she said that they're going to do the news anyway. And all proud. That must be an amazing thrill. Think about the thrill of that. Let me go to the busy phones, and we're going to get you a super chat to the busy phone. We had an amazing show so far. If you missed the first 2 hours, you got a podcast. Bill Lockwood was here. One of the smartest white men on this side of heaven. And you're going to see that I'm right about that. Right? So make sure you podcast Bill Lockwood. Let me go to Calandra out of Nashville, Tennessee. Calandra, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hey, good morning, Uncle Jesse.
Where you been?
I've been working and taking care of my kids.
Nice. Well, good to hear from you.
I Same to you, and happy belated birthday to you.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome. There's a few things that I want to say, but you just tell me when to cut it off.
I will.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Was you going to say something?
No, go ahead.
Okay. The first one, the job that I'm on, that I work at, which is the school, I'm still there currently, and the supervisor, I've observed her, and yes, not good to judge, but I've seen that she's like a dictator. She likes to dictate, and she likes to, you know, tell. I can understand, you know, we work, and that's what we're supposed to do. But, you know, to dictate when someone take break and how they take it.
Right.
I got an issue with that. Like anything else, I don't mind doing, but when you're interrupting my 30-minute time for my time, what I do, my free time, I got to go against that. So I want to call you to see, you know, what should I do?
So your boss, when you're on break, she interrupts your break?
Well, she don't want me to go outside of the building anymore for my break.
So she have told you can't, she suggested or told you that you cannot go outside of the building?
She didn't suggest it. She basically just told me.
And why not?
Because she felt like she want everybody to be in the building. And she say it's also in the handbook. Now granted, Jesse, I'm not going to tell the field. There is a couple of times where, you know, I do take responsibility and accountable for myself. There's been a couple of times that I do come back maybe 5 to 8 minutes late.
Oh, no, you know, wonder.
And that's what I'm saying, in which, you know, I'm okay. Like, don't tell me. Like, I'm not going to receive that. Well, don't tell me, hey, you've got to come back. You can't leave. Like, you know, it have to be something else, some type of action.
Would you rather for her to say, if you come back late again, you're fired?
I mean, no, because I actually like my job.
But so you don't want her to say, if you come back from break late again, you're fired. And you don't want her to say you cannot go out of the building on break. What is she to do?
I mean, it's not just her. I mean, it's actually me. That's why I'm taking accountability, you know, to say that, hey, I am messing up. Okay, I do need to be more mindful about my break.
Did you tell her that?
I did tell her. I told her.
So you told her, you're right, I'm wrong, I should be back, and I'll be back on time?
Yeah, I told her, because we did my evaluation the last day of school, and I did my evaluation, and they told me they told me to write down my achievements, what I want for this, what I achieved this year and for next year, and what I like to improve on. And I told them, I told her, you know, my break time. I told them that was the issue.
So did you apologize to your boss that you come back too late?
Yeah, I do. I do.
So you did apologize to her?
Yes, I apologized to both of them.
Okay. And what did they say when you apologized?
They didn't say nothing. They was just like, okay, it's okay. So saying it was okay.
So does that mean you can go out now for your break?
I don't know just yet, because she did say, I did tell her, Uncle Jesse, I did tell her, I did make it known that, hey, you know, I understand, you know, but if she said it was in the handbook that you can't go outside for your break, that you can't, you have to be in the building.
So when you apologize, they said, okay, then you can go out for your break. Make sure you be back on time.
No, they didn't say that. She didn't say that.
What did they say when you apologized?
Nothing. They were just telling me, they were just finished the evaluation, just letting me know about my position and how well I am and things like that. But no, it wasn't no retract or anything, just saying that it's okay, we'll give you another chance to. It was never that.
So why don't you go to her and say, you know what, I did apologize. I would not be late again, so I am going to be going out. Or are you okay with me going out? Why not go to her with that?
I haven't had the chance to go back. Like I said, this conversation happened on the last day of school.
Oh, okay.
My evaluation for next year.
So then you off work, off school work for now. You want to go back until September or something?
Until August.
August.
Yes.
So forget about it for now. Don't think about it.
Yes.
But when you go back to work, have a way to see. Maybe you go back to work, you automatically go outside. Maybe time will change whatever happened before you went on vacation.
Yeah. And that's what type of, you know, and that's the attitude that I've been having, you know, about everything, you know, because this is something that I know that I'm conscious of, you know, being late, you know. The time
Why
that
you
I
be late so much?
Because, you know, Uncle Jesse, I have to go, I have to make runs to the bank. I have to, like, it's just different stuff. I have to go get food. And I did tell myself, you know, I will, you know, start prepping, you know, my lunch, you know, the night before. And it's just me. It's just me. I see it.
But
just,
you can't be late just because you got to go to lunch. You go get no, some lunch no. at lunchtime. During the break, you don't have much time at the lunchtime. And so why would you do that at lunchtime?
Yeah, and you're right. And you're exactly right. And that's why I said I'm wanting to be more mindful about it. And I did tell them the same thing as well because, you know, my job, you know, I like my job, you know.
Also,
and I do want to be more mindful.
You're being disrespectful. You're not showing love. You're not showing the right kind of attitude, especially now that you're working on yourself by being late like that. You can't be late.
You're right.
So
you're exactly right.
Well, now that you're off until August, just forget about it for now. Have a wait and see, and then you'll deal with it once you're back in school. It may not even be an issue anymore, but you got to stop being late. What the?
I know. And that's nobody's fault but mine.
And if I fail to pray and my soul get lost, it's nobody's fault but mine.
It's my fault, and I'm trying to come up with things. I'm trying to come up with things.
Well,
like,
what does that mean? That doesn't even make sense. That I'm trying to come up. You go to work, you have breaks and lunch. At work, you take your break. And then at lunch, you take your lunch. But both time, you make sure you get back on time. That shouldn't even be like anything but that.
You're right.
What's wrong with you? Is it because you're black? You're already late?
I think so.
It's hard being black.
No, it's not because I'm black, Uncle Jesse.
Well, what is it?
I don't know if it's just my body.
It ain't got nothing to do with your body. It's you.
What is it? It's me. Yeah. Okay.
What it is, you don't care. Because if you care, appreciated your job and you appreciate the people that hired you, you would be on time. You would simply be on time. It wouldn't be an issue. You don't care.
I got you. You might be right, and you're probably right.
I am right.
So how do I, like, what do I need to do? Because it's like, you know, it's not just this job, too. It is not just my job. You know, I just want to be able to, be conscious about everything that I do.
On time, and you come back on time. It's just simple as that. You go to break at 9:30, and you got to be back at 9:15. At 9, almost 9, whatever, you get up and walk back over to your desk.
Yeah.
That's not that difficult.
Well, it's difficult when you just said it, when you don't care and when you...
Why don't you care? Why don't you appreciate...
Why don't you
appreciate the gift that God has given you? The gift to work and take care of yourself, provide an opportunity where you can have a job. Why don't you care about that?
I'm not going to say I don't appreciate and I don't care because I do show up on time in the morning. It's just my lunch break.
I know, but why don't you care fully so you can do right even at lunch? The boss shouldn't have to keep up with you at lunchtime. The boss should not have to wonder if you're going to be back on time or not. Because when payday is done, when payday comes, you're expecting a full check, right?
I am. Because it's you know, I guess I can say, cause I'm not going to blame the, it's a toxic environment to work at, period.
That has nothing to do with you.
But you're right. So I am trying to find a way to show up still without listening to the, and it's just a thought. It's a thought, I know it's a thought, but it's, I'm still having a hard time.
But that doesn't make sense. Even if I were high, I would know to show up on time at work, take my break on time, come back on time, go lunch on time and back. I mean, what you're saying is just not making any sense at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's a getting back to work.
You don't want to get back, because if you did, you would.
Saying that, Uncle Jesse, I do want to get back.
No, you don't. If you did, you would.
You're right.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
And I am, because I want to find a middle ground to it all. Like
the middle ground and be back on time. That's the middle ground. You don't have to find it right there.
Look, Jesse, I know, you know, we all have a little judgment that we have for ourselves. And
that ain't
like,
got
I'm
nothing to do with you being
yes,
late.
Yes, it is. I'm trying to figure out why. So I'm not taking accountability, or I'm not trying to brush it off or anything. It's just, I'm just trying to find reason. I don't care.
Because you're black. And now you're mad at the boss because the boss said that you can't leave the building for break. If I would recommend you, when the boss said, you know what, Calandra, you're always late, coming back from break, so now you can't leave the building for your break. You should have just said, oh, you're right, I understand, I'm wrong, thank you, I won't leave for now, I won't leave. Why not deal with that way, since you don't seem to be able to come back on time?
I mean, I looked at it because, number one, I looked at it because I know she does this to a lot of people.
But they had nothing to do with you.
Yeah, but if I go outside, and if I can't, number one, I pray outside. I pray.
And
when I'm
if
on my
I
break,
fail
you know,
to pray.
I pray. I can't. I don't have no room in the building to pray as well.
But what? So yes, you do. You can sit right there at the lunch table with a crowd of people around you and be aware, and you're in prayer.
Oh. So are you just telling me to just bite the bullet and just stay inside?
I'm telling you to do what's right. You, this lady, your boss, is making you stay inside now because you keep coming back late. She's trying not to fire you because she can fire you. And so instead of complaining and murmuring about that, you say, you know what? You're right. I won't go out. You're being punished for being late instead of getting fired.
Okay.
Why is that so difficult to understand?
I don't know. That's why I was calling to ask.
What's wrong with you?
What do you mean? What's wrong with me? When she said they had, look, that's like coming.
You know what's happening? Like, Satan is telling you, look, this woman does this to everybody. She's this and she that. It's a toxic environment, as you said. And Satan is making you do wrong, too, because everybody around you doing wrong. How about being in charge of your own world? You don't have to be like everybody else.
And that's what I'm doing. That's
no,
what
you're
I'm
not.
Trying
you're
to
showing
actually
up on time.
I'm showing up late, Uncle Jesse.
Right.
That didn't even sound good.
What?
I said that didn't even sound. I corrected it. I said it's showing up late.
Yeah.
But that's why I was calling you to see.
Here's what I recommend, and you call me. You be on. When you get back again, wait to see the situation may have changed. Wait to see it work. But if the situation is the same, me have the same boss, same schedule, you either apologize to this woman and let her know if I go out again, with your permission, I'll be on time if you let me go out again. Or if she says no, you like, okay, I realize you're right, I'll stay in for lunch. And there's no argument about it. That way you would start to, your life would change and you would be an example for, this is not a reason for you to change your life, but you will be an example for others who are rebelling too.
Yeah.
This is why I don't hire black people.
Yeah, and I see it, but it's like that's why I don't say nothing because it's like, hey, Flanger, hey, wake up! You the same way. You be coming back from late work. You be coming back to work late.
Are you literally saying to yourself because you're black you can't do it right?
No, sir.
It sounds like it.
No, sir, I'm not. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. At this point.
Are you still working on yourself?
And that was another thing. I am.
You're doing the silent prayer.
The silent prayer. I do the silent prayer, but Uncle Jesse, you know what? Why do I feel like it's not working? Why not feel?
Because you listen to the devil.
That too. And I tried to go, and you know what? Another thing I did, Uncle Jesse, I text my biological mom to try to have a conversation with her. And this lady, she was like, I don't feel like talking right now. And I was like, okay, I will let you, okay, just let me know, you know, when you're available that we can talk. And she was like, well, why are you so adamant about seeing me on FaceTime?
You know something's up.
Yeah, and you know what? Tell me what this is, Uncle Jesse. I was reading her messages. I see that I have her attitude. Like I have the no patience. The when I want something, or you know, in that position, that her attitude. I could see that my attitude is similar to hers, and I could tell from that. And I didn't like that either. And so that was, I see that I have her attitude and family say that we, you know, act alike and stuff like that. And it's just like, okay, cool.
Let me say this because of time. You got to stop playing around with the devil like this. You playing a game, but you don't realize the devil is playing a game on you. You got to, if let's say your mother don't talk to you. You got to forgive her anyway, knowing that you become just like her. She cannot help herself. And then you stay with the silent prayer moving on. And at work, you got to do right without even thinking about it. The right thing is to show up on time, do your work. When you take a break, go and come back on time, same thing at lunch. Without anyone even watching you, you should do what's right. Because you're working on yourself. You want to be in control of your life. You want a life with a perfect peace. You got to get serious about it. You don't sound serious about it.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. I think that's fair. And that's fair to say.
And so stop listening to the devil. And
but it's hard. I'm just going to be honest. It's hard.
What's hard about it?
He's in every situation.
But that would change if you just be aware of that and live with it, let God take it away from you, go about your day, and just know that you've been tempted by evil. Don't call it you. You'll be fine.
I don't know. Maybe I just need to, I know I need to slow down.
You do.
Maybe I'm in a rush and just, yeah.
Yeah, slow down. Walk slow. Take your time. Be aware. But you got to get serious about this and don't let this be like a joke to you.
And I try not to. I try not to. But if there's no excuse, but, you know, in the morning when I wake up, my body just feels just like it just don't want to move, like it don't want to do. I force myself. A lot of times I force myself to lay down and just close my eyes. You know,
well, relax and take one step at a time, but you got to be serious because the devil doesn't want you to go free. So don't let this be a game. You're at war with evil.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
But for now, about the job situation, don't think about that until you I have a way to see, but you got to go back in there being right and doing right.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And that's why I called you, just to,
all right.
To talk to you. Yeah.
And good to hear from you.
It's good to hear from you, too.
What a
mess. Doing well. What a mess. What a whole mess, Jesse.
Let me know how it goes, all right?
I sure will.
All right.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Y'all have a good one.
You too. Thank you. 888-775-3773. Let me go to Ian, who has been waiting a very long time. Ian out of Arizona. Ian, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Hey, Ian. Hold on, Ian. He's not ready. Let me go to first time caller out of the Bahamas. Brian. Brian, welcome to the show. You're on the air. Oh, I'm sorry. Hold on, wrong line. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, it is awesome to be here and to be able to even talk to you. So I was calling to give you a shout out, man.
Shout out.
Yeah, I will let you know you got love down here, man. You know, we show much love for you. I'm down here.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Brian. Are you on Skype? Or how are you making this call?
I'm making this, I'm not really too sure. You know, my girl got this. I just know this is the line that we use to call for.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that, man. That's amazing.
Amazing. Yes, sir. But while I'm talking to you, I do have a question for you. So, you see what the thing that's going viral right now, the whole black fatigue thing, right?
Yes. Yes.
Now, I'm fully, with what, the narrative of it is. However, I feel like if we keep throwing race behind everything, that even though, they're just trying to show, you know, quote unquote black people, how they acting, you know, a lot of them being rude and stuff and calling them out. I just feel like it's not going to solve the problem or, you know, I feel like it's just going to feed the fire more. What are your thoughts?
That's a good point. I mean, a good question. It's unfortunate because now that the world is saying that they have black fatigue, look like it would make the blacks pause. And realize, what am I doing wrong? Why is it that I'm turning off? Why is it that I'm turning off the whole world? You would think that since they're not paying attention to the signs within themselves, that if the world is telling you they're fatigued now, they don't want to be bothered with you, look like that would make you examine yourself instead of getting mad and blaming them that they don't want to be dealing with you.
Yeah, you know what the problem is, man?
What?
As a smart individual, right, one would see their mistakes, right, especially if you can, see, evidence and see your actions and see how stupid you look. You're witched up, right? But the problem is the ratio of ignorance to smart people nowadays is just too far apart, you know?
Yeah, it's real separated now. We're more divided, not just in America, but around the world now, because people are so identified with race rather than what is right, and they're refusing to be individuals.
Now, you're right. Oh, and before I forget, I got to call you out on a lie. You said earlier to the young lady that you don't hire black people. I'm pretty sure the black person I talked to before I talked to you. Yeah.
But he is a coon.
Oh, God. But anyways, hey, now, let me hit you with this, right? So you say race divide.
My producer, he black. He is a Nazi coon.
And you see how, you and I could laugh at that, right?
Hold on, buddy. Let me take a break. Hold on. I'll be right back. 888-77, just a quick break.
Counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service.
Treasure Chest is now open on D-Live.
Counseling with men, families,
individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session. If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingdemand.com or call 800-411-2663. 800-411-BOND. Best counseling service on this side of heaven. Bunch of amazing reports to give to you today, but I won't have time because the time is running out. I got to get you as many calls and super chats as possible. The Hake Report is coming up at the top of this hour. The Hake, and James Hake is on fire. He's one white guy that is not afraid. So check him out. Amazing. He's not afraid of the blacks. And then after the Hake Report, Joel Friday TV, he black, and all the mercy and grace that you will ever need. Joel Friday TV at 11 a.m. Pacific time. And then after Joel Friday, the American Anchor Baby. The American Anchor Baby. I'm hoping, and it's just me. It may not be the way he want to go, all right? I don't tell my host how to run their shows, but I'm hoping that Anchor Baby get back to that flying stuff he used to do and play the guitar. Did you know he played the guitar and the piano? Not only can he dance and sing, he can play the piano. The American Anchor Baby at 11 a.m. All right? So I want to go back to the busy phones. Okay. I want to see JLP play. Oh, and I am going to do the play again. Somebody said, I want to see JLP plays return. I've been so busy, I just haven't had time to do them. But it's a good idea. Let me go quickly back to the Bahamas and talk to Brian, a first-time caller. Hey, Brian.
Hey, buddy. Welcome to the Bahamas. Hello.
Thank you, man. So my producer is black. He's a Nazi coon.
Yeah. And what I was saying, like, right, when you said that the first time, you see how I could laugh at that, you could laugh at that, because obviously, you know, you're joking and stuff. It's crazy how people take things so personally or so out of context.
Yeah.
You know, it's insane.
That is,
you know,
amazing. You're absolutely right, man.
Yeah, man. It's, you know, like, you can figure out your friends real quick. Like me, I ask them one question. I ask someone, hey, you think the earth is flat or round? And they start talking about flat earth and conspiracies. I was like, all right, me and you definitely can't be friends.
Well, speaking of that, not only is my producer a Nazi coon, he's also a flat earther.
Oh, Jesus, 5 a.m. Get rid of
him. Oh, Brian, yeah. It's so good to hear from you, man. Call me again, all right?
I will, man. I will. This is great, man. It's a pleasure meeting you, man. God bless you and keep up the good work, so.
I will. Thank you, buddy.
All right.
Bye now. Amazing. Bye. Amazing. Super chat. Super.
Super chats.
Over on buymeacoffee.com/JLP talk. Yesterday, hey, we're in yesterday's super chats. Someone says, I need me a gas car. Vroom, vroom, vroom.
That's right. Who wants those little soft driving cars that make noise? And when you ride in them, it's like you're in a toy car. What the? Amazing. Thank you.
Not Archangel Gabriel bought a coffee. Shout out to Big Mama Phyllis. Before, I would have judged Phyllis for her angry outbursts, but thanks to Jesse, I see inner anger is no different from outer anger. One of these days, I'll have to call in. Still having trouble overcoming my inner anger for white liberals. They test me most days. No thanks to social media, crazy face emoji. Lord have mercy. I need some of Jesse's coffee to take away the hurting.
Punchy coffee is so good. I have my own coffee, folks. Go to JesseLeePeterson.shop. JesseLeePeterson.shop. Thank you. Hey, did you know that rage, anger, it's like a two-edged sword. I've been paying attention to angry people, and what I notice is that anger is like a two-edged sword. When you're stabbing somebody else with anger, you're yelling mad at someone else, you're also feeling the pain in you, too. So it's like a two-edged sword. Have you realized that about anger?
Yeah.
When someone is trying to hurt you with anger, they're hurting, too. It's like it's coming back on them right away.
Terrible.
The Bible says something about a two-edged sword, right?
He said the Bible says that the truth is a double-edged sword.
Well, that's the truth about anger.
Nice.
Amazing. But thank you.
Jamil, I want to
ask.
Can we get a shout-out to the good old days when Super Chats were read on the same day? Rest in peace. Just kidding. Love y'all.
Thank you for your patience and shout-out. Amazing. I appreciate that.
We're going to bring him back.
Yes.
Because we care, like Calandra cares. Anthony on Cash App. Hey, your horse, it's illegally parked. Country and Western Tuesday.
That's right. Amazing. Thank you.
Big ups from KOC on Pilled.net.
Check out Pill.
Uncle Ruckus, rest in peace. Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty.
I interviewed Phil Robertson some years ago on my radio show, on The Fall Estate, thefallestate.tv. And we're going to replay that at some point for you. It was very interesting. May his soul rest in peace. Amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Uncle Ruckus. Elijah Black say they took the N-word back, but they're still mad.
I know. It's amazing. It's like mind-blowing to me that human being could actually be affected by words, a word. Think about that. Someone can say a word or you can hear a word about you and you get mad. And that makes sense, right? What a mess. Thank you.
Uncle Ruckus, there are horses in heaven because Jesus is going to come down riding one. I want a moped.
Amazing. I want one of those little electric cars running around L.A. with no driver.
Yeah, a Waymo. Wojciech.
Thank you.
How to call the show from Europe? Poland Skype? Simple phone won't do. The number is not valid for outside of the USA. Please share. Guide. Great job, by the way. Wojciech. Pardon me, I'm butchering your name, I'm sure. Wojciech.
We're working on that. And when we know, we'll let you know.
I don't think that we're working on it because we don't know what to do.
We're working on right now about asking people to let us know.
Yeah, I guess so.
About the thing.
All I've been able to, if this helps at all, I mean, it's, you basically need a service that gives you a local number.
Local American
through the internet.
Number.
Huh?
An American number.
No, it doesn't have to, just like where you are.
Yeah, local.
And that lets you
number.
Call through the internet.
Wi-Fi.
May I mention a few that might work for them? You have to find one because it might change. It depends on your region, but Zoom phone, local phone, and services like that. Usually it's looking like the industry, you got to pay. But it's not too expensive, but it's looking like you got to pay, basically. That's how it's looking.
Amazing.
Some people have like American friends who help them get a Google phone number. Google voice number.
Everybody ain't got no American friend.
I know. So, or just pay for international calling. There are international calling plans, and some of them may be more reasonable, actually.
Yeah.
But good luck. Let me know.
And the reason, and those who don't know what we're talking about, why? because Skype went out of business, right?
Yeah, Microsoft bought Skype and destroyed it.
What a mess.
Yep.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Wojciech.
Thank you, Nick, for that.
Hey, thanks, Nick. Uncle Ruckus says there are... Oh, no, I already read Uncle Ruckus. Natalie says, love y'all, helping to help others.
Thank you, and thank you for helping us to help others. I appreciate it.
Snowflakes, hi, Jesse from Mommy Africa.
Mommy Africa, heard around the world by everybody at Bay Mama.
How can we call you with no Skype crying emoji? Please say amazing. Laughing face with tears.
We thank just hands. Got through explaining Purple the heart. Skype thing, and you can podcast the show or rehear it, I guess.
Yeah.
And but amazing. Amazing. Thank you.
Zoom phone might be the way, or one of those.
Yeah.
Anthony on Cash App. Is black fatigue really Democrat fatigue?
No, black fatigue is black fatigue. All other races are just fed up with the blacks now. They're just tired of the violence, the crime, the victimhood, blaming others. Begging, and they're just kind of sick of it now. They really are. Enough is enough is enough, they say. Amazing. Thank you.
Indeed. Thank you. KOC bought a month bronze tier subscription over on pilled.net.
Thank you.
Sean Joe gifted the cookie over on Jesse Lee Peterson's Pilled.
I appreciate that.
Anthony on Cash App worked at A&P in the 70s. We love bringing carts in. At that place, we had a cart contest, most in at one time.
I remember those days when I worked at Better Food Market. It was like that, too. Amazing.
Never heard of any of these stores.
You never heard of Better Foods?
Nope.
What the?
Did Jesus have an ego? Asks WT1.
He died from the ego thing. Absolutely.
Kevin says, showing support and love.
And it wasn't his ego. It was our ego that he took on. So that we can be free of the ego. Amazing. Thank you.
Kevin, showing support and love. Thanks, hands. 2025, we ain't playing.
That's for sure.
Shout out, Kevin.
We're taking on evil this year. Practice being present all year and dealing with evil. Amazing. Thank you.
Tyrant sore wrecked. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning.
Over on Pilled. Sean Joe gifted the cookie again. Mark.
I like cookies.
Yeah. Mark, Punchy was amazing. Great synergy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Mark with a C, that is.
Right on. Jesse Lee Peterson dot shop. I get the Punchy. The movie, the show Punchy.
The TV show, Punchy TV.
Oh, check out Punchy TV. Punchy.tv. Amazing. Check it out.
Persian Cucumber, referring to this.
And you can get the coffee, too.
Referring to that caller, Shelby, from the other day, I think yesterday.
Shelby coming around the mountain when she come.
He went from super beta to beta. I guess that's an improvement.
He'll be coming around the mountain when he come. Amazing. Thank you.
Harmony Gratata Grits. Jesse, I love you.
I appreciate it. I love you back.
Elijah with a diamond in Job 2. God allows Satan to inflict suffering.
That's like a response to the question.
Could be.
Biblical question. Does God allow you to suffer? Amazing. Thank you.
Gregatron, I think Phyllis is Mel's wife. Mel's wife.
Mel
Phyllis.
From Atlanta. Amazing. Thank you.
That's his theory. Eric, three coffees. Why can't she work at that one store, our friend from Hawaii, Brandy, and start the cleaning business 1 or 2 days a week until she knows what to do, asks Eric.
That's a good point. When I first started my janitorial service, I worked at a hospital, so I worked there full time, and then I would get off and go and do my janitorial work, and one thing led to another. Very good point. Thank you. I hope she's listening.
Thank you, Eric. Shout out to Brandy in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Nikki bought a coffee healthy health hack. If your throat hurts, eat a spoonful of honey. If you're sick, eat raw garlic. It's the bare necessities of life, says Nikki.
Amazing. Thank you. I appreciate it. But what it is, I've been doing a lot of talking. I do 3 hours of radio, and not bragging, but just telling. 3 hours of radio, and then yesterday, I taped 3 hours of the Fall Estate right after that. And then after my shows, I didn't do yesterday counseling, but I do counseling. And then I'm just, my throat goes, it's just, the voices disappear after a while. Amazing. Thank you.
Eric.
I will try that, though. Thank you.
I should have brought you water. Eric bought three coffees in response to the biblical question, does God allow you to suffer?
Right.
No. God has nothing to do with suffering. Suffering does wake people up to the imagination, he says. Suffering without distraction allows a person to come to the realization they're the cause of their suffering. They become aware of the impact of thoughts on emotions. The separation between self and ego, you and not you, stillness and imagination, reality and illusion.
Amazing. Thank you. I got to stop there for
now. Read the rest later, guys.
Amazing. I want to get some calls in here. Let me go to... let me just check and see if Ann is ready now. I tried him early, but he wasn't available. Ann, out of Arizona.
Jesse, I'm ready.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, no. I just wanted to tell you thank you for everything. You pretty much changed my entire life. I was a drug addict. I weed for 10 years. I've been able to drop that. Forgiveness. I forgave everyone. I love a lot of things I didn't love before, like Trump. I love the Jews now.
Right on.
Just wanted to say thank you for all that, man. I was calling on your birthday to say happy birthday because
it's
your big day, you know. That's it, man. I'm really thankful for you for bringing me to here, you know.
That's amazing. I really want to encourage you to stay with it. Stay with doing the silent prayer. Stay with watching. And never call any form of emotion you. You're not your thoughts. You're not your feelings, good or bad. Good feelings are bad feelings. Bad feelings are bad feelings. So don't call anything you. And I promise you, man, you haven't seen anything yet. It gets better.
Thank you, Jesse. Yeah, stay with it, right?
That's right. Stay with it, always. Stay with it, stay with it.
Thank you, Jesse. That's it, man.
I appreciate
it. I love
you
very much. Thank you for everything, Jesse.
And I love you back. Stay with it.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Joe out of California. Joe, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jesse. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear, Joe.
Thank you, Jesse. All right, yeah, so... I've been kind of struggling with...
Speak a little bit louder into the phone.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Go ahead, yes.
Okay, yes. Yeah. So I've been sort of dealing, you know, with life and sort of...
Joe, come back to your phone and speak into the phone. Are you on a headset or something?
I don't have my headphones in or anything. I'm speaking right to the phone. Can you hear
me? Now you're doing fine. Stay like that. Go ahead.
Okay, yes. So I've been dealing, you know, with, you know, just sort of trying to, how can I say, observing, you know, opportunities when they become available to me and trying to figure out, you know, what's, you know, a good thing for me and what's a bad thing for me. And I guess, you know, I've been sort of at the moment balancing you know, getting a promotion at work, but also at the same time getting like a lot of sort of attention, it seems, from my coworkers and them being sort of curious about me. And like, I don't really, you know, talk about myself much. So, you know, I'll converse with coworkers and do small talk here and there just to kind of, you know, keep things moving and stuff. But, yeah, I guess I seem to have developed, I don't know about a reputation, but there's a girl at work who I think she likes me, and I'm just like not sure if I can sort of balance, you know, getting a promotion and having a relationship at work. And I want to know your thoughts about that.
Okay, number one, stop trying to balance things out. Stop right now trying to figure things out. Stop trying to get anything. When you go to work, do your best. Have a good attitude. Be grateful for your job. Just do your best and let things work out on its own. And but you got to stop trying to figure things out. And those people who are trying to figure you out at work, that's their problem, not yours. You don't change anything for them to feel comfortable. They're nosy, and they want to feel comfortable, and so they're trying to make you conform to the way they are. Don't fall for that. And mm-hmm. and then secondly, I would highly do it to her. I would highly recommend don't date at work. And so, and in this particular case, do not make it happen at all. See what happens. But it's not good to date at work because it will turn into a mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm cautious about. So, I mean, the girl's a sweetie, but I just...
Ain't no such thing as a sweetie.
Oh, really?
No.
Come on, Jeff.
I promise you.
Okay.
You get that sweetie and she will turn into sour cake real soon. She would turn it to salt.
Okay.
But do what you want, but I recommend you not date at work. No date, no men and women should not date where they work.
Yeah, it's crazy how that's sort of a dynamic that we have to balance.
Yeah.
With
and so, but are you doing the silent prayer and all that?
Well, Jesse, I would say, have to tell you no. I feel like I've just been a lot of things. I always seem to be in a rush, and so like I always think about doing it, you know, before work, maybe just sitting in my car and just kind of. Oh, go ahead.
That's why you're going through all this. You're trying to figure things out, balance things out, make things happen, because you are blind and you can't see. I would recommend you go back to the silent prayer, watch those thoughts, and then just do what's in front of you. And because right now you're asleep and you're not seeing what's in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you not working on yourself?
Why am I not? Well, I think I am.
Oh, but you say you're not doing the silent prayer, right?
No, I know I've heard you talk about the silent prayer and how it is important. I've just been feeling like, I got to like confide in people first before I do, I don't know.
You got to confide in people.
Well, you know, talk about, I know you. I shouldn't maybe talk about my problems to people or just, you know, just advice in general. That's what I'm sort of.
No, don't do that.
No.
Well, you got to rely on you and these people that you're going to confide in for advice. You're talking, one asleep person talking to another asleep person, and they're going to always give you the wrong advice.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you do the silent prayer so you can see what to do without even have to ask someone?
Well, I guess I'll start today.
But wouldn't you prefer to live that way than living from without? It's better to live from within.
Of course, Jesse. I think it's just, dealing with fear and anxiety. I guess it kind of gets a hold of one, you know, tricks you.
But right, it does because you're asleep. You got to work on yourself, buddy, if you want to be free. And you got to see, if you work on yourself, that the fear and anxiety all was an illusion too. It was never real.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I know that.
But you don't know that. If you knew that, you'd be doing it.
Right. I'd be living it. One more thing I wanted to say. I did talk to you maybe a month or two ago about going back and forgiving my mother and my father, which I did. I did it correctly. And, everything's just sort of like a wait and see these days regarding them.
Right on.
Living. But I do have a question about, returning to the father. And, I appreciate, being able to talk to you, but I realize that, I might not always have a chance to speak with you regarding, life and everything. But I was wondering, is it the most appropriate? I guess, I don't know if it's like permission, but just like, can I talk to my father about just what I'm going through and like, would he be able to understand? I guess
if he's not working on himself, he will not be able to understand. If you want to talk to your father, there's nothing wrong with that. But he might not understand what you're coming from because you're working on yourself. A little bit, but you're working on yourself. He might not understand. So if he doesn't understand, don't hold it against him. I highly recommend that you start living from within, so the truth, the light, will guide you in all things, and you'll be fine.
Okay.
But if you want to talk to your father about something, especially a practical thing about work or something like that, and I'm not even sure
if
you're talking about that.
Women specifically.
Women?
Women more. Yeah.
He's not going to understand women, but you can give it a try.
Okay.
But work on yourself so your mind will be made clear.
Okay, Jesse. I'll work on myself.
All right, man. Continue. Call me again, all right?
All right, you take care, Jesse.
All right, buddy. Peace. Hey, I'm out of time. Super chat. I am sorry. Let's see how many we can get before.
Lori with the biblical question and answer.
How does God allow you to suffer?
I say no, God has nothing to do with suffering except saving us from suffering. The devil is the one who uses suffering as a tool to make people blame God for their misfortune. It occurs when we're in an illusion with the devil.
I put my two cents on Sunday. Thank you.
Shout out to yesterday's contributors on DLive, Elijah, Games for Rec, 555-555-5565, and the rest. Thanks, y'all.
Thank you all. Amazing.
Billion Capital, chill. Pot of coffee. I'm sorry to say, Jesse, I must admit, I love telling women, it's okay, you can't help it. Please, Jesse, help me stop with this thrill. Laughing face with sweat.
Stop it now. When you're about to say it, catch yourself and don't say it. That's all. Precious doing that. Amazing.
Someone bought a whole bunch of different coffees.
Thank you.
Sharing Revelation 24, 4 through 7, cried tears of joy. It says, God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. There will be no more death, sorrow, crying, pain. Those former things passed away. He who sat upon the throne said, I make all things new. He said to me, write, these things are true and faithful. It is done. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I give unto him who is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He who overcomes shall inherit all these things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Amazing. Thank you.
And that someone nice. Bought another coffee saying, now I understand God already knows what's going to happen before it does, and he does nothing. He allows me to go through whatever pain I must go through. He doesn't force it. He lets it happen naturally, as it should.
I appreciate it.
And, guys, we got to read the rest of your Super Chats later.
Oh, yeah, because we're, like, totally out of time. We're totally out of time. Caller Jermaine from Canada, Rick out of Hampton, Timothy out of Washington State, and the caller drop. I'm out of time. Hate Report coming up now. Then Joy Friday TV and the American Anchor Baby. Bye.
I just want to say thank you for everything that you do. You've absolutely changed my life for the positive, and I just want to thank you. I was 29-year-old beta living at home with my mom and just was living in fear and doubt, and I couldn't hold down a job. And then I found you, and I started listening, and I started just being more at peace. And I forgave my mom, and I forgave my father. And it's like right after that, everything just changed in my life, and I was able to get a good job, and I moved out, and I live on my own now, and everything has just changed. And I just want to say thank you, and I appreciate you for spreading that message. It really is a positive message.
Amazing. That's good, man. I want people to know God love us in ways that there are no words to express, because you have nothing to compare it to, right? Stay with the silent prayer. You haven't seen anything yet. It gets better. We have a counseling service, and I have to admit, thanks to God, it is the best counseling service on this side of heaven. I counsel with men and women, families, individuals around the world. Most people are unhappy. They're miserable. They have rough lives. They're depressed, suicidal, young and old, of all races. I understand. I know why, and I do understand it. Because exactly what's happening in me is happening with everybody outside of me, inside of them. And I've noticed that with those who really, really, really want to understand, they overcome it just like that. Out of one counseling session, If you need counseling, you can go to rebuildingdemand.com or call 800-411-266.